There we go. Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Emmett County Board of Commissioners meeting, 6 o'clock on May 18th. Let's all stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
individual liberty and justice for all. Let's have roll call.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Coombs?
Here.
Looking for a motion to for the approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second, Mr. Chair.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the April 20th meeting.
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes for the May 8th meeting.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign. Motion carries. It's time for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step up to the mic. Let's go ahead and get started. Brenda was first.
Hello, my name is Brenda Kobita. I live in Petoskey. I want to thank all of our commissioners for serving on this board. I'm here tonight to speak in support of and defend our two community commissioners, our two commissioners who serve on the Board of Health. I listened to a recording. I wasn't able to be here, but I listened to the recording from the last meeting, and I have quite a few things to say. I feel like two of our commissioners are being attacked. Some of the people that are doing the slinging of arrows, I guess if that's what you want to call it, they seem to think they hold the moral high ground. They say this is about changing health department rules or holding up a grant for school nutrition, whatever that means. The grant that I was looking at when I was at the Board of Health meeting, the last Board of Health meeting, and I was going to get up and speak, seemed to have more to do with social justice issues than it had to do with food or growing food. There seems to be some confusion regarding that grant and what happened to it not being placed on the agenda that day. So I think some of that needs to be cleared up. From my understanding, one of the commissioners at the meeting said that it was placed in committee and it was voted down. So I think that's something that maybe the public, needs to be made aware of. I would like to say many of the people that I heard speaking gave their names at the last meeting, and a lot of them signed a community letter in support of the former Board of Health officer who resigned her position. They supported her in the useless masking of our school children. And my child was one of them. And am I angry about it? Yeah. Yeah, I'm angry. And I won't get over that. And I never want that to happen again. I don't think that one person should be able to decide that. So about a year and a half ago, I spoke before this board addressing that exact masking subject. There were two different commissioners from it on the Board of Health. The difference between myself and some of these people who are trying to sling the arrows or make changes is obvious to me. I asked for change, but I never tried to get the commissioners forcibly removed from their appointments, or I never disparaged them publicly. I came to the board and I did it civilly. Did things change eventually? Yes, they did. But I want to tell our commissioners that are doing the right thing. That's what some of these people will do. If they disagree with you, they will cancel you, smear you, and get you fired. So
time's up.
Thank you for your service and stay strong.
Thank you. You're next.
I'm Jeff Nyquist. I live in Petoskey. I'm a taxpayer and sometimes horrified by my tax bill. I appreciate the leadership of Rich Ginnup, and I appreciate holding the line on spending because we have to have a limit on what government spends. We have to have a limit on what government does, and we have to have a limit on what taxes we pay. And when there's no limit, we have fiscal irresponsibility, we have individual irresponsibility, and we have bankruptcy. So that's really important what you're doing, and I thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
I'm going to try to time myself so you guys don't have to. I'm Mary Moore, M-O-O-R-E, Littlefield Township. Kids in Petoskey schools the last 3 years. I'm here in support of Rich Ginnup and in particular, and I'm also here to support generally conservative commissioners who have a skeptical approach in general to government. So first I want to address the grant, which seems to have been the catalyst for the recent uproar in public comment. Here are some facts totally missing, I think, from the public conversation. Number one, the health department applied for but did not receive this very same grant last year. So not having the grant this year changes nothing about the department's operations or about its services. Anyone who's saying otherwise is not telling the truth. Number two, in the health department's grant description to the board, no money whatsoever was allocated for actual food on plates for kids. So no, Mr. Ginnup is not taking food out of any children's mouths by turning down this grant. Number three, in fact, the actual food programs that the grant promoters promised to facilitate at the schools, like 10 Cents Michigan and Food Court operations, are available directly to the schools without the health department acting as a middleman. Again, the conservative commissioners have done the right thing. Number four, it turns out that the administrative budget at the health department would have been the biggest winner under this grant proposal to the tune of $160,000, possibly $190,000, depending on how you read the fine print in the proposal. And by the way, the originators of the grant really wanted to give out $50,000 grants. We might not have gotten $500,000 anyway. Number five, the second biggest bucket besides the health department for the grant was the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities. They were supposed to receive $75,000 under this grant proposal. One look at their annual reports will tell you that Groundworks is a left-of-center climate activist organization. And this raises serious questions that I would think would be of interest, by the way, to local journalists who ought to be asking these questions, not me. Why should we funnel $75,000 to Groundworks? What sort of divisive new Green New Deal values would they teach to our children? And by the way, how many other left of center organizations have received grant money funneled through the health department? It's my opinion that this particular grant would have made no difference to the regular operation of the health department or the nutrition of our children, but it would help fund Groundworks, which probably would like to see us all farm without fertilizer, pay $10 per gallon for gas and eat bugs instead of beef. Now a word about Rich Ginnup. Rich, you are an outstanding man doing an outstanding job. Keep up the good work. You are right to utilize the checks and balances that are the key feature and not a bug of our constitutional republic form of government. I commend you for taking the slings and arrows with a smile, not like Lisa Peacock. I remind you that similar organized personal attacks drove two conservative Emmett County commissioners to resign from the health board in September of 2021 to make way for Mr. McGinnis and Mr. Koontz. I urge you not to be intimidated. I want to be represented by you. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up.
A little tall for me, but I'll speak up. My name is Sandra Festerling. I live in Emmett County. First of all, I want to say to all of the representatives of my commissioners, I expect you are going to ask questions and keep on asking questions. I expect you to search out facts, and if there are any discrepancies in regulations, budgets, I expect you are going to dig into that fact. I don't believe everything that is thrown at me by the big government or little government. All departments should be willing to be transparent as to how they operate. It is easy to see the decline in the overall climate of our United States. And as a citizen, it's up to me to be watchful and involve myself and seek out answers. Commissioners that are seeking out information, please continue. When we spring clean, the dust flies and the dirt flies. If everything is above board, that too will be known. Don't let any possible tactics be used to stop you from being diligent diggers of the truth. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
Evening. My name is Wid Lyman. I reside here in Petoskey in Emmett County's 7th District. I used to be represented by a commissioner with whom I agreed 100% of the time, one who understands the proper role of government, who is fiscally responsible, and who cherishes personal freedom and responsibility. But Petoskey, sadly, has gone dark blue, and my commissioner is of that political and social ilk. I'm not sure we agree on very few issues, yet I don't have the unrealistic expectation that he will in any way represent me and my views. I didn't vote for him, and he didn't promise me a voice. That would be foolish. But I'm not asking him to resign. I'm not asking him to be replaced. That, too, would be foolish. When he was on the health board, I and others of my persuasion didn't demand he be replaced, though we strongly opposed his positions. Similarly, no one from his side of the political aisle is demanding the other Emmett County commissioner on the Board of Health resign or be replaced because we disapprove of his position on an issue. Why is it that only one side of the aisle requires lockstep? Why is it that the blue side demands their way in voting but doesn't return the favor when they're in power? Why is it that only their experts get to be listened to? Mr. Ginnup was elected as commissioner and then elected as to represent Emmett County on the health board. As far as I can tell, most residents of Emmett County, everyone in my circles, are pleased with his representation on that board, despite what has been said at recent meetings. Providing needed oversight and restraint, not trusting the experts who have been proven wrong and biased, and offering the four-county area a voice of reason. But for one vote in which he joined three other commissioners, he must go? Yeah, I understand he has ties to a fledgling, grassroots, responsible government group. What about the commissioners who have ties to, say, public education, or a public library, or public works, or public roads? I guess those ties are approved ties. We certainly can't have a representative on the Board of Health who disagrees with the woke agenda of the left, who will interfere with their grifting. You are right, Mr. Chair. Please don't resign.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
My name is John Tillotson. I live in Bear Creek Township. I'm going to read a paragraph from an article that came out in Newsweek. It's a respected magazine. Came out on May 8th. It's recent. It comes from Jay Bhattacharya. He's professor of health policy at Stanford Medical School. So he's got the credentials. It'd take me 10 minutes to read the article. I'm only going to read the first paragraph. Over the past 3 years, the public has seen firsthand the tremendous power of the public health establishment wields, using emergency power that most people never realized an American government possessed. Public health violated Americans' most fundamental civil right in the name of infection control. We endured 3 years of useless and divisive policies, including lockdowns, church and business closures, Zoom schools, mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and discrimination. Now that the WHO has declared the end of the COVID pandemic and the CDC Director Rochelle Walensky has announced her resignation, it's time for states to take action to limit the power of public health so as to never repeat what happened before. So Dr. Bhattacharya, he called for laws restricting the public health. He's writing to a national audience. Some states, such as Florida, are working on such legislation. Here in Michigan, there's little hope for state legislature to enact the needed reforms to prevent future abuse. But I'd like to refresh everyone's memory about where we've been. Here in Michigan, Governor Whitmer exceeded the time limit on the emergency powers granted by the governor. The Michigan Supreme Court intervened to stop the abuse by the governor. Then what happened? Did the abuse stop? No. It was the local health department that used their local powers to continue the abuse. This point is important, so I'm going to say it again. It was the local health department that continued the abuse that the Michigan Supreme Court tried to stop. In an attempt to stop the continued abuse, multiple lawsuits were filed against our very own Health Department of Northwest Michigan.
20 seconds.
It is my understanding that these lawsuits are not yet settled. I wonder whose budget that's coming out of. The frequent argument is, we are the professionals. You guys don't know what you're talking about. To that, I would reply, the experts at the health department got everything wrong about COVID. They forced us to wear masks that don't do any good, and I could go on, but my time's up. So.
Thank you. Thank you.
Come on up.
Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for all you guys do serving the community. I just wanted to speak briefly on the...
Could we have your name, please?
Sorry. Parker Fairbairn from Little Traverse Township.
Thank you.
I just wanted to speak briefly on the grant that is being discussed this evening. And just ask a simple question. Is it really the job of the Northwest Health Michigan Board to even look at this grant, to even consider this grant? I don't believe it is. I believe that needs to go down even on another level in government to the individual school district. So that'd be the question I'd ask for all of you. Is it really the job of that board to look at these grants? Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Anybody want to speak? Raise your hand. Come on up.
Hello. Cynthia McWater, spelt with two T's, Emmett County resident. I don't know where to start tonight. I had several different approaches, but after hearing the first few speakers, I'll first explain that I'm very frustrated. I'm frustrated with the board. I'm frustrated with some of the members of our community. It's easy to be a follower if you yourself are not really secure. A lot of groups that have different theories want to be in control. It's part of a narcissistic trait. I believe that some of the people are trying to influence commissioners, which concerns me, because I don't think anybody should be controlled. History has shown throughout the years that there have been cults where this happens and different organizations that start this. I see the health department basically being held captive because of decisions that they've made for the betterment of this community. But even though I feel that way, I guarantee they will never retreat. They will continue to give the quality of care that they've given to our citizens in the past, and that will continue. Because I guarantee you, nurses and healthcare workers are fightful. I mean, they will fight for what's right. You took an oath of office. You also signed a code of ethics that I'm going to get back to. It says that you will work for the common good of the people of Emmett County and not for any private or personal interest, that they will assure a fair and equal treatment of persons, claims, and transactions. In violation of this code, which we know has happened, U.S. commissioners have the responsibility to take action. And I suggest that is taken. As far as the COVID, I worked through that. It's real. It's not a fake vaccination like some people have said. It's not that masks aren't helping. Masks help. So do vaccinations. And if you have children, you're going to want to protect them. And I'm sure you vaccinated them as infants and during their childhood years. So please think about what's happening.
Your time's up. Thank you. There was a young lady in the back that stood up. Come on up.
Hi, my name is Connie Doherty, and I have some remarks here from Susan Vanderventer, who couldn't come tonight, and I'm going to put on something down. And first of all, her remarks are, while I can't attend tonight's board meeting, I do want to send some brief thoughts in regard to the discussion of our health department and the Board of Health. My husband Tom and I have great respect for the NWHD and fully support the work they do. We were especially grateful for their guidance during COVID, which presented unique and deadly challenges which had not been previously seen during our lifetimes. It would seem that board appointments due to the departments overseen by the county should be done so with the intention of supporting those departments and making sure they function at the highest level of service to our community. That means making sure that each appointee understands the mission of that department and monitors its accreditation and commitment to that mission. To that end, it makes sense that appointments to these departmental boards, such as the Board of Health, take into consideration the expertise and genuine interest of the appointee in that capacity. It serves absolutely no purpose to place county board members who have obvious contempt for or little interest in supporting the department to which they're assigned. I think that is what is happening with the current appointment to the Board of Health. Commissioner Ginnup certainly has skills that would be better suited to a different department than on the Board of Health. So much time and energy is being wasted in trying to defend the Board of Health from county commissioners who don't share its values and mission. Please consider reappointing someone else to the Board of Health. Sincerely, Susan Vanderventer Petoskey. And then my comments are much word. Speaking
we have
for
one
myself.
Minute left. One minute.
Connie Doherty, I believe that Emmett County deserves and needs a strong and functioning Department of Health. Just as you all voted last May to improve some roads, we need to support governmental infrastructure that benefits us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
I'm Bob Wiley, Springdale Township. Today, because I'm commenting on medical matters, I will indicate some of my medical credentials. I'm a retired physician, but when I was in active practice, I lectured concerning advanced microscopic surgery in many states and in many countries, including Taiwan, mainland China, and Hong Kong. I am licensed and performed surgery in communist China. I was licensed and performed surgery in 7 different states: Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and Illinois. How were mask mandates and lockdowns decisions made during the pandemic? During the pandemic, How did our officials respond to mask and lockdown mandates? Did our local officials really have no choice but to follow the edicts of the administrative state? Last November's election brought new leadership to the Board of Commissioners. Our new leadership will not blindly follow international recommendations from the United Nations or the World Health Organization. Our new leadership will question if we have followed, if we have to follow the suggestions of unelected bureaucrats of the CDC like Dr. Fauci. When presented with unreasonable mandates from Lansing, our county commissioners will question if they have to obey unconstitutional mandates. From this week's Harbor Light News, Dr. Meyerson, who I do not know and to my knowledge have never met, was quoted as saying, open quote, "The availability of bivalent vaccine offers an excellent opportunity to reduce our risk of infection, illness, and transmission of the virus," close quote. The jab, despite what others have said and believe, the jab does not decrease transmission. Recent studies show it increases transmission. Death rates from all causes, called all-cause mortality, have increased significantly in those who have had the jab and are even higher in those that have had multiple booster shots. The recent released evidence is showing that the mRNA vaccine has caused illness and death. In my opinion, the biggest crime, yes, I use the word crime, some are calling it murder, is this unproven experimental injection was mandated in children.
Time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Courtney Wilbur. I guess I'm just confused as to why we're talking about COVID vaccines and our tax money going to this. This is a grant for farm to school to get people in schools making connections between local farmers and school cafeterias so that we are able to support our local farmers by getting nourishing foods in our cafeterias to our children. I don't understand why we're talking about COVID vaccines right now. I don't understand why you're holding our health department hostage from the community.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, my name is Leslie Nielsen, and I'm from Charlevoix County, Boyne City. At the last meeting, there was a letter by Kirsten Horan listed as a correspondence. It was not read at the meeting by the commissioners, but I'd seen it on the ERG website, so I read it aloud at the meeting. The letter was dated April 27th and was sent to David Boyer and Commissioner Brian Gutowski. Based on discussion at the last meeting, this was placed in the commissioner's packet prior to the meeting, and I was curious as to if the commissioners had discussed or determined how this letter had made its way to the ERG website so that it could be put on there May 6th, which was 2 days prior to the May 8th meeting. With Mr. Ginnup's close ties to ERG, I can only imagine how it got there unless Mr. Gutowski sent it to them. If this has not been discussed, I would ask that it be put on the next agenda, and the ethics of releasing what I assumed was a semi, what I'm assuming Kirsten assumed was a semi-private correspondence between herself and David Boyer and the commissioners. I would hazard to guess she didn't appreciate its publication on the ERG website, where it was ridiculed, and her personal information shared, I'm sure, without her permission. Unethical antics like this discourage open dialogue and input from the constituents of the community that commissioners are supposed to be serving, and it needs to be addressed. And I'm sure that that was the intention of getting that on there. But that's not how government, especially local government, are supposed to work. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Who's next?
Mary Lieberman, Emmett County, City of Petoskey. Thank you for adding the Board of Health to tonight's agenda. Constituents and communities have expressed serious concerns regarding the performance of Commissioner Ginna in his role as one of our representatives on the Board of Health. I'm hoping that tonight's meeting will be addressing these issues. The first being the Medical Freedom Resolution should never have been introduced to the Board of Health. There was no prior discussion with this board. There was no legal review, which could have avoided that fiasco. This instigated unnecessary divisiveness in our community. As a result, this has led to costly legal expenses for our taxpayers. Second issue, publicly discussing how to get rid of the medical director was witnessed by community members. How inappropriate for an employer to do this in a public setting. Radio interviews and Petoskey News Review articles disparaging the health department was acting without the direction from this board, casting doubt and questioning the advice of the attorney who was paid to represent this board, participating in and supporting intentional misinformation on the ERG website as recently as this week, has told constituents that these are his posts and that he agrees with them. Removing one photo from the Founding Father page doesn't take care of it. Irresponsible actions and non-support of the health department's mission is leading to a hostile work environment for employees who continue to perform their duties in a professional manner, despite facing regular obstruction from their employer. This left unchecked will subject this board as well as the health department board to more unnecessary legal fees and costly litigation. Sitting silent at the health department meetings, never participating in discussions or asking intuitive questions for better understanding, leaves Emmett County not fully or fairly represented. Blocking agendas that result in the public voice not being heard violates his duties. Not responding to and or listening to constituents about their concerns clearly demonstrates a dereliction of duty. An inability to separate personal views and a painfully obvious non-belief in the health department mission demonstrates that Commissioner Ginnup has a definite conflict of interest and is not suited for this committee assignment. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, I'm Lisa Keen, and I thank you all for the work you do for each of us. I don't need to agree with you. I'll be on one team or another to see that. And I'm just listening tonight, and I can tell people know the mask mandate's over because I don't see many masks, but I'm with Corbin. Nice to meet you. I don't understand. Why does that keep coming up? I teach. I watched Zoom school, which is miserable. If you had children, you know what I'm talking about. And it was very difficult to see in these homes all of the things I suspected might be contributing to children's trouble in school. And I'm lucky. I have an awesome husband. I have a great family. I was raised by good people. So I don't know a lot of the trouble that some people do, but I certainly have empathy. And I work with and for some of the most vulnerable people in our community. I don't even know. Oh, there. How about that? That works. So I thank you when we put our capital letters, R and D, beside our names off to the side and say, hey, yes, I have to represent a team when you vote for me, but I'm for everybody. I see the division not as Republicans and Democrats, but, and I've said it before, the it's my writers and the it's my responsibility-ers. What team do you want to be on? I mean, yes, we all have rights, but let's face it, fighting
for certain things for ourselves limits what other people need. And I have been called a virtue signaler. I had to look that up. Oh, people say, oh, she thinks she's so noble and moral. No, that's not what I am going for, or the people who might agree with me are going for. It is about representing the common good.
45 seconds.
And making sacrifices as necessary in order to serve others. And thank you to those of you who make that apparent. I am here to tell you, schools need help. We cannot do everything. We cannot be nurses, psychologists. We cannot write grants for these things. Thank you for the government affiliations that work with us to provide what children need. You would not believe I taught in Petoskey if I could stand up here and tell you some of the confidential stories that would break your hearts about the students I teach. And just to put everybody at ease, I haven't eaten beef in 30 years, and the only bugs I've eaten are on my bike at night, because this is that season when they fly in my face. Don't worry. Nobody's teaching that to kids.
Thank you.
So Who's next?
Who's next? Come on up.
Well, my name is Tracy Skinner, and I appreciate the number of people that have come tonight. Whether we agree or not, we are all here because this is important, and it demonstrates our willingness to take a risk, to share a thought that could be helpful in order to move forward on issues where it appears that there is an obstruction and people are stuck. I spoke to my commissioner yesterday and shared my hopes for the discussion during tonight's meeting, and I challenge all of the commissioners to take a risk, as people here have already done, and go on the record so that your constituents know what course you endorse. Do you support a functional representation on the Board of Health? Representatives that will seek information and legal advice and support the mission of the health department? Or do you support the path of the apparent battlefield that has been established that has created more work, diverted time and resources, and couldn't even get it together to approve an agenda so a meeting could be held? Are you comfortable with your communities becoming collateral damage? Even if you share some beliefs with a more outspoken representative to the Board of Health, I would challenge you to consider, is this the right arena for these conversations to happen? The answer is clear. Based on legal advice provided to the Board of Health, this is not the place that can make those changes happen. It is as if Commissioner Ginnup has gotten on a train without checking to see if his destination is on that route. I can understand that would be frustrating, but if you find that you're in the wrong place to have the discussion that you want, the change needs to happen in your location, and you need to find more appropriate arena to address your concerns rather than continuing down the path of the previous Board of Health that ended up with significant legal expense. I'm concerned that far more time, money, and resources are going to be spent on legal fees than will ever be saved by questioning the amount of money the health department spends on postage in a month. I have noticed many commissioners, head down, blank expression, not wanting to be counted as supporting or opposing Commissioner Ginnup. Perhaps you are concerned that you will alienate some of your voters, but I feel the voters are waiting for you to speak and provide the leadership for which you were elected. You have a voice, but I'm not hearing it. Staying silent, you risk nothing politically, but our communities are impacted by the reckless actions of the Board of Health. I'm wondering if you're going to speak up and let us know, is this the representation that you feel comfortable with? We're watching to see if you're going to act.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hello, my name is Beth Compton. I've been a member of this community for most of my life. I've also been a nurse serving my community for approximately 50 years. I've viewed several of the meetings via Zoom. This is my first attending meeting I've attended. And I can't tell you how disheartening it is for my community to be torn apart like this. And I've never felt the need to come to these meetings because I knew the people that were elected represented the majority of the patients the majority of the community's needs. I didn't doubt that. And I sat here listening to this gentleman in front of me say at this Mimic Waters say, get up there and tear her apart. Now you're accusing, yes, you do. And you know who you are. And how discouraging is that? You know, you're talking about the left and the right side. They're doing this, they're doing that. You're doing the exact same thing, and you're doing it at a public meeting that's supposed to be bringing people together. And anyway, that blew me apart. I really came here to say that working in women's and children's health my entire career, that these grants are not a lot of money. I went, did home visits with women and children, weighing their babies, checking out their children, worked in doing labor and delivery, dealing with families. This is what we should be talking about. What's best for our families in this community? And to give them a little extra food with both parents working. Everybody here knows that even two parents working, they don't make enough money. And to have this program be available to them to ease some of that strain, because they have, if they're getting money for that, they can spend their money on other foods. So anyway, I'm just disappointed, really.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, my name's Joyce Burns. I'm from Bear Creek Township. And I just want to thank you all again for all your time and all your hard work that you spend on what you do. And I just want to say the reason that these issues are being brought up that seem to be old to some people is because they have not been resolved. And regarding the masks and the mandates and all that, we're afraid there's people that don't want it to happen again. And we want to be very, very careful. We don't do the same thing with the health person that was making all the decisions before. And so it's, I watch my grandkids have to do mandates that made no sense and that were harmful to them. So I don't trust the decisions that person made. And I want to be sure it doesn't happen again. I want to say thank you for asking questions. And don't think always everything has to be done as it always has been. Research. You're not hearing the truth on the news. You're hearing propaganda. You need to dig and find out the truth before you allow anyone to make a decision regarding our children. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I support you all.
This gentleman over here, come on up.
I'm being jealous. Levity is always a good thing, isn't it?
That's right.
Joe Murphy, Emma County. Obstruction is something that we don't want. We wouldn't like people up here screaming and shouting and making everybody run away. But I'm afraid that the health department may find themselves in that position. The fellow from Anthem County, who is heading up, I guess, the committee to look at all the grants, wants to look at every grant that's currently in play. And he's talked about getting rid of them all. Some of these grants are two-year grants. Money's cut off in the middle. And I've talked before about what the health department's supposed to do. But I added on here. There we go. Oh, the Sharon part of it. Mental health services, individual counseling, group counseling, family therapy, case management, referral for other mental services, wellness education, individual health education, classroom presentations, and small group presentations. They do these things. I don't know how many of those things would be eliminated if our commissioners who are on that committee decide to go with him and simply get rid of them all. The health department's been around for 90 years. What it's supposed to do is be there for us, all of us. Left and right, no Balderall, no BS. They're there for our health and well-being. That's their mandate for 90 years. So I hope in the future, rather than just going along with that individual, our two commissioners will look at the grants that are received and that are possible in the future and make sure that the community is served. Because if it's not, we all lose. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up. Sorry.
John Swartout, Emmett County. I fully support the work that both of our commissioners are doing on the Board of Health. They don't vote as a block, which tells me they're thinking independently, and that's what I expect from them. I listened to the comments last meeting, the May 8th Board of Commissioners meeting, and I thought to myself, where have I heard this before? So I'm just going to quote Saul Alinsky on how to create a socialist state. There are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you are able to create a socialist state. The first is the most important. Number 1, healthcare. Control healthcare and you control the people. I'm going to skip down to number 7, religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Now I'm going to quote a couple of Saul Alinsky's 12 rules for radicals. Rule number 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Pretty crude, rude, and mean, huh? They want to create anger and fear. And rule number 12, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up.
Hi there. I'm Rachel Graham. I'm from Little Traverse Township. I will be very brief. You as the Board of Commissioners are here for our community. That is what we expect of you. That is what we appreciate about you. We want you to be here for our Board of Health. And that Board of Health is also here for our community. We rely on them, and we rely on them for our health and for our community and our future. You are also our future. We have seen some underhanded behavior in Rich Ginnup and some other commissioners in bullying your way into the Board of Health. And I think there are a lot of people who are very unhappy with how that has proceeded. There are a lot of people who are very upset with the way the Emmett County Board of Health is being run because it is being bullied. They are bullying our community, and they're bullying the Board of Health, and they are just trying to do their best. And there are several members that are not looking out for the best interests of our community. They're looking out for their personal interests and their personal goals. And I would like to say that I would like to see Rich Ginnup removed from that, because, or removed himself, because it is really important for our future and for our community.
Thank you. Who's next? Come on up.
Hi, Brian. Long time no see. My name is Dale Scott. I live in Friendship Township. Still do full time. I spent 10 years as the supervisor in Friendship Township back in the early part of this century. And that was a pleasure. Mr. Chair, having read several articles about and quotes from recent meetings of the Board of Health, the Board of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan, of which I understand you are a member, I am concerned about a couple of things. It is important to me, and I believe to many of the citizens of Emmett County, that this county commission and those members who have been appointed to or who have appointed themselves to the health board be aware that it cannot be their responsibility to make medical decisions on our behalf. I understand. I think you appointed yourself, Mr. Ginnup, correct?
That's not correct.
Whether or not we wear masks during a pandemic or for how long, mandates concerning gathering sizes or density and other such programs, for example, are directives to be left to our medical professionals within the health department and with our personal doctors. If you or our other representative to the health board disagree with this separation of authority, it would seem appropriate to step aside and allow another commissioner to fill the position. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next?
Anne Wrigley, Petoskey. I was looking through the health department's website recently and found that there are more than 60 programs that they handle and offer for the four counties. And I'm just going to read you a few of them because I have the list of 60, but many of them are grant offered and funded. Behavioral health provider directory, campground licensing, child and adolescent health programs, child and adolescent facility inspections, children's special health care services, communicable disease inspections, dental clinic north, East Jordan Wellness Center, the foodborne illness investigation, farmers markets, food safety, the Gaylord Wellness Center, hearing and vision, the Hornet Health Center in Pelston, household hazardous waste disposal, maternal infant health, Medicaid enrollment, school oral health, skin protection, skin cancer protection, excuse me, SNAP, septic permits, WIC, worksite wellness. All of these are offered by our Health Department of Northwest Michigan. We need to continue these programs. They're very vital to many of us. So I would hope that you would take these into consideration when you are making decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Carla Buckmaster. My comments are not meant to disparage any of the important public health services that are performed by our Health Department of Northwest Michigan. We all acknowledge from personal connections and recent public comments that their contributions have been many. In past years, however, the Health Department employees and staff seem to be who were directing the finances and policies for the Health Department, just as they wished, without much outside input, either from the public nor even the health boards. Boards which do exist according to Michigan law. It is the law, along with a set of local bylaws, that prescribe the ruling powers and duties of the health boards and committees. The pandemic effects, however, changed the public's public health expectations, especially because we live in a representative democracy where officials represent the citizens' ideas and concerns in government. So now it does appear that the present health board members who come from elected positions are listening to the public and voicing various perspectives as well as addressing the county health department's needs. The health board members are first elected county commissioners and then appointed and finally confirmed as health board officials. They are in positions, whether in committees or in the main meetings, that require them to consider seriously the health department's possible revenue, whether the funds are grants or more direct taxpayer dollars. They must consider the actual origin of the funds, like number one, who or what group provides the funds and what is the group's own mission, and number two, exactly how those funds will be spent within the health department, once the funds might be approved, not just accepting funding as if it is free, no strings attached money. Strings such as those included by the recent possible food grant overseers. Overseers called the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities. Their spokesman in today's Petoskey News Review publicly stated their mission includes critical race theory and various other priorities which presently are politically divisive. That issue rightfully was considered in evaluating the declined grant. That was in quotes from him. I feel the present health board members certainly are trying to represent the public with oversight of the health department in the manner as is their responsibility according to the law, and I thank them.
Thank you. Come on up. These are people from the other. Come on up.
My name is Mike Duncan. I'm from Charlevoix County, but here today because it did affect my county as well. I just want to say, get back to a little bit of the basics on here. The reason why we're here, the reason why we're upset with this is because, quite frankly, this grant was something that is not going to be taxpayer funds. It is going to be provided, and it's going to help the kids in this community to actually receive some food. I don't know if you know this, but 44% of children in in Emmett County Public Schools are actually on food assistance. They do not have enough food as it is, and this grant apparently was just completely ignored. Not only that, this grant was ignored in a meeting that was not conducted following the Open Meetings Act. So that is leaving the Board of Health to potential lawsuit, because the decision. And I believe Mr. Rubing from Antrim, when he said this in the same meeting as I was there, referred to it as the decision was already made in that meeting that was not covered by the Open Meetings Act. So in that case, that was basically something that is leaving the county or leaving the Board of Health open to a lawsuit in that regard. So again, I just want to get back to the basics. There's kids in this community that are hungry, and we're not even allowed to discuss a grant that could help relieve that. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next from the other room?
Stephen Hayes from City of Petoskey. The characterization has been made that our Board of Health turned down the now infamous nutritional grant because of personal agendas and that they did not care about our children. Is this really true? Jairus Rubing, one of the commissioners and the head of the committee that failed to recommend the grant, has had his reasons published online. It's lengthy, but here are some paraphrase highlights. We already have programs that work directly with the schools to provide nutritional education and school lunches in place. This grant is a pass-through grant. All proposed money would be administered through the organization Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities, which has not provided enough details to the board to explain the value added of why the board should have this organization act in its name. How much of the grant money would actually go to the schools, and how much would go to the grant groundworks administration and the organization's other goals, which include climate change activism, anti-racism, and equity. Now, my comments. We need to look more closely at this. In today's Petoskey News Review, the executive director of Groundworks, Jeff Smith, made a very well-crafted statement in support of his grant. The statement is based on unproven assumptions, which I will now briefly comment on. Climate change is not a scientific fact. Many scientists who do not depend on so-called woke university grants have disagreed with this. Our weather is controlled by the sun more than anything else. Racism. This is an overworked word. Some people are trying to divide us by constantly looking for racism under every rock. People should be judged by their character.
45 seconds.
Not by their skin color, sexual preference, or long dead ancestors. Equity. If for equity, we need to discriminate against innocent people, I'd say we should rather have equality of opportunity and reward those who strive to better themselves. You know, that's why people want to come to this country. It seems to me that Groundwork is working on the wrong side of the public good on these issues and is just looking to fill their coffers with this grant. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Anybody else from the other room over there? I don't see very well out back.
Sure, that was the end for the other room.
Okay. Anybody else in this room? One more time. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on. We have a sheriff in town.
I think you all have the 2000 annual report, and I do this every year, and I've been doing it. I started when I was under sheriff, and it's a good thing.
Can you crouch down a little bit?
I'll push
that back up.
Bam, come on. Okay.
You got to get a ladder.
We've been doing this for years, and the reason I do it is to let you as commissioners know what tax dollars are being spent on. And I also put it on the county website so the public can see what their tax dollars are going for. And, you know, I'm not going to go through it. It's over 60 pages, so it's pretty self-explanatory. If you have any questions, call me on the phone or stop by and see me, because I'm not going to go through all 61 pages unless you'd like me to. I don't think you want me to do that.
Are you coming back next year too to present?
No, next year Matt will be here. 232 days to go.
So before you leave, does anybody have any questions for the sheriff? Yes.
And thank you. And like I said, stop by, call me on the phone if you got any questions about it. And Matt, Leerstein. My undersheriff, he will do the marine grant, and that's the other part of the dollar. Otherwise, good evening, and thank you.
Thank you.
Exactly.
And this report is online, so if you'd like to take a look at that, it is online, so you can see that.
It is very detailed.
I actually went through it. Maybe for about 45 pages before I decided to take it.
Next, we have the administrator.
I'll try to be as short as he was. We gave you the highlights of our staffing and our staffing needs. You can see that still in the part-time that there are some staffing needs that we need for this summer's help. So if anybody's coming back from school right now is looking for a job, we still have some openings. Happy to report that Camp Petasiga Road, working with the Road Commission, started that project up late last week. We have two coats on there. Both lifts are on there. All we have left to do is shoulder work out there. So we'll be ready, and everybody can drive on that road right now. So thank the Road Commission for pushing that project before the big holiday weekend. Next weekend is booked out, but during the weekend, there's still available camp in there. One of the things we've talked about was Bear Creek Township, and we've been working with them to they've come to us and asked if they could get a deputy assigned into their area, and we've been working with the sheriff's department, and you'll see that coming up in one of our June meetings, an actual contract with Bear Creek Township, and they will pay for the services of a deputy to work in their township. They've been discussing this with us for the last couple of years, and we're finally to the point that we can help them out. Tonight you will see in one of Pam's report, when we get into it, there is going to be a reduction in the millage, and we talked about this at the last meeting in our 911 bond funds. That was the money that we put the 800 megahertz system, the new system, in place. We have collected enough money over the five-year period, and this last year we will reduce the millage rate because we have enough to cover that.
That is unheard of.
So that's my report. I know tonight I won't go through all your reports because your reports will cover a lot of what I have to offer.
And then Pam is next.
So right now we're looking at January to March. And when I put these reports together, I try to do it so that we can look at the 23 actual and the 22 year-to-date so that we're looking at the same time frame. And if you're looking at this first page, you'll notice that there's not really a lot of difference between your 23 actual and 22 actual with the difference. We had a negative $4,294,000 in 23 and a negative $4,287,000 in 22. And this is because tax dollars do not start coming in until July. So as you can see, there's a difference of about $7,200. We're right on target. Revenues are currently at about 6% of budget and expenditures at 20%, which normally they would be at about 25%. We have a lot of grants that come in revenues that we don't end up getting until later on. So that's why you see that number down. I'm not going to go through the next couple of pages. I just listed in here some of the differences between this year and last year at this time. I guess one of the main ones I want to point out is interest income is 43% higher than it was last year. So, and as you see throughout the newspapers and the news, interest rates are up, and we haven't seen this in 15 years. So if you skip over to the revenue graph, Tatum. So this gives you an idea of the last 3 years. And you can tell general government is the largest increase here. And again, that has to do with interest income. And this kind of gives you an idea of where we're at the last 3 years. And you can tell that we're pretty steady. The airport, you're going to see revenues and expenditures up, and that has to do with fuel. So that's why you see such a big difference there. And if you go to the next one, it's the expenditures. And again, if you take a look across the board, you can see where the differences are in expenditures. And a lot of these, most of these increases have to do with things that were approved already in our budget back in December. So it's not that we're spending more, it's just it was all approved within our budget. So as of right now, we are studying very well and we are on target with where we're at towards the end of the year.
Good deal. Thank you for keeping us on target.
Try.
Okay. Now we have a motion in front of us for Camp Grayling.
Yes, at the May 8th, we had a presentation from Mr. Knight from Kalkaska County on the Camp Grayling expansion. The board directed myself and the administrator, myself and the city attorney to take a look at the resolution that was submitted and make recommendations back to the board for you to have a discussion about. We have done that. There's a resolution in there that states Emmett County. That was the one that we worked on. The second one is the blank resolution that Mr. Knight presented to us at the meeting last week. Also included all the correspondence that that he presented at the meeting, and that's all in your packet.
Okay, we're looking for a motion.
I'll make that motion, Chair. I move that the board adopt the resolution to oppose the Camp Grayling expanded use of state lands by permit as presented.
We have a motion. We're looking for a second.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, my question is, why is Emmett County looking at a Camp Grayling resolution? How does that directly affect Emmett County?
Mr. Chair, I feel the same way. It's not really an Emmett County issue. I've always felt for many years that the state does own way too much land in northern Michigan. And in my district, District Number 1, a large part of the land is owned by the state. It gives them a lot of power. It hurts tax base for the townships up north. It hurts the roads, and it makes it hard for people to buy sites. There's not enough sites to purchase to build a house on.
Anybody else? Any other discussion?
Yeah, I have some things I'd like to talk about. So I'm sympathetic to this cause. But I'm really leery of resolutions that don't have anything to do with county business. I think it's bad policy for us to take those up. I passed out a 6-point item of things I thought we should talk about before we vote on a resolution, and I'd like to talk about some of those things. The first one I proposed was let's know the source and who authored this resolution. This is different from the resolution that we presented last time. And I was just wondering, before I vote on anything, who wrote it?
This was what it was directed to us. Go back, take a look at this resolution, the blank resolution that was presented, sitting down with the attorney and looking at to make sure that this is the most, or this was something that would be appropriate for this board.
So it was authored by our Emmett County attorney?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. And then,
Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Jopik.
Yeah,
County Attorney Jopik.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I just wanted to chime in on that. I appreciate the opportunity. Just to clarify that a little bit further, it was not, entirely prepared by myself and Mr. Boyer. But what we did was we took the resolution that was presented by the representative that appeared at your last meeting, reviewed that, and made amendments and modifications to it to address, concerns that we had in terms of the representations that were being made in the original resolution. They were resolutions of fact, for instance, that we really didn't here in Emmett County have the backup information to support. They were based mostly on representations from the individual from Emmett County and the group there. And we wanted to make, for your sake, if you did choose to adopt this resolution, we wanted to make sure that this resolution was clear that you were acting based upon information that was provided to you by that representative and their group, and that you weren't making these declarations based on facts that you had independently verified, because in most instances, we were not able to do that. With respect to the memorandum of understanding, we were able to take a look at that MOU and verify that some of the representations in this resolution were correct. And in those instances, we did not need those disclaimers, so to speak, as to where the information was coming from. So those are the types of changes that you see in this resolution. And generally there's a mention in there also about, where Emmett County stands in terms of supporting the military. That was not in the original resolution, but it was put in here just to make it clear that this wasn't anything directed toward the veterans and soldiers in our country. So that was also something that was added, obviously not a legal or administrative addition, but something that we thought might be worth putting in there for your consideration. So I appreciate the opportunity to clarify exactly what our input was on this. The foundation of this, however, is still the resolution that was originally provided to you. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, and thank you again.
Thank you.
So the second point that I had hoped that we would talk about before we vote on a resolution is what does, in this case, it's a commissioner, I'm assuming, that brought this forth. Mr. Knight was on our agenda at the last meeting, so somebody must have invited him. And what does the commissioner who proposed this resolution hope to accomplish with this? I don't know who proposed the resolution. It says here it wasn't one of the commissioners. Was it somebody here?
He invited himself in. And
he got on the agenda by himself?
Well, we agreed to let him in, yes.
Okay, and we being you?
When the agenda is put together, we go through, there was a, this came through the clerk's office. It was brought forward from the clerk as we sit down and put the budgets, or excuse me, put the agendas together. This was an item that we discussed. Okay.
And what do we hope to accomplish with this resolution? It's my understanding that there's a memo of understanding that's already been established by the state. And I'm just curious, if we pass this resolution, what's our goal? What do we hope to accomplish with this, if there's anybody that supports this resolution?
Our goal is to stop the expansion. And the gentleman that spoke at the last meeting explained all of that. And you could have asked any of the questions that you have.
Well, for him the resolution that we saw last time was about, I thought, something else. But this resolution is about a memo of understanding that's already been established by the state. Is that correct? Maybe the attorney could address that for us.
Remember that the resolution that was really originally presented changed once the memorandum of understanding was approved. And I think that the clerk received the changed resolution before them, right before the meeting. I think that came in.
Yeah, the MOU came in like 2 days before.
So let's be clear then. Is the MOU, and maybe our attorney could address this for us, is this MOU established something the state's already established? That's how I understand it. That's a done deal. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, may I address that?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. So, yes, the MOU, I do have a copy of that that was signed. I think that is in your agenda packet, and it has been executed by both the state and the Camp Grayling representatives, as well as the veterans group that was part of that. So it's kind of a three-way memorandum of understanding, and it does have some provisions in there. As represented to you at your last meeting, that allow for it to be terminated. And so in terms of the resolution that was provided a couple of days before your last meeting, this resolution today is based, like when I was referring to the foundation for this resolution you have before you for consideration, when I said there was a resolution provided that was the foundation for it. It was that resolution provided by the group a couple days before your last meeting, not the original one that was provided sometime before that, before the memorandum was adopted.
Okay, thank you. So going back to my second point again, what does the commissioner proposing this resolution hope to accomplish? So I'm assuming somebody here on this board supports this resolution. Is there anybody who supports this resolution who could state what they hope to accomplish if this resolution passes, or what they hope it accomplishes?
What it's asking for, the stop the expansion of the Camp Grayling.
Right, but the memo of understanding has already been established. So are we hoping to change that memo of understanding?
There's a term limit. There's a possible term limit on that.
Okay.
So that's what we're fighting against. That's what we've been asked to fight against.
Okay. And then this civil council's reviewed this, obviously, since they've read it. The other thing that I checked that's relevant here out of my 6 points was it says assess the material effect that the resolution will have on the county. Will it change our procedures in any way? So how will this resolution affect Emmett County? Anybody here who supports that could explain that.
I think we're being good neighbors, and okay. I think if we wanted to use that state land, where the whole county could use that state land, we're members of the state.
Okay, I'm glad that we're able to think these things through. The reason I bring these up is, in general, I think this is a I agree with you. I would not mind going down there and using that land myself. I do a lot of outdoor recreation. But when we bring up these resolutions that don't affect Emmett County, that are not part of our operations, this particular one, I don't really see it as a terribly hot button issue. But the example I can think of before is the resolution that was brought up at the health department a while ago. It has no material effect to change anything, and I really don't think this has any material effect to change anything either. And it gets our community divided, and it's divisive, and it's sort of a promoting a political agenda that has no bearing on the business of this county. I think it's bad policy for us to take these up. And so we've got probably, 20 minutes today. We're going to talk about this by the time it's done, at least 20 minutes, maybe a half hour in the last meeting. So we've got almost an hour, plus we've got staff time, attorney time involved in all this on something that really has no bearing on Emmett County and something that's already been established, as far as I understand. And I just see that as a waste of time and resources. So we're probably going to have at least a two-hour meeting tonight. We had a two-hour meeting last time, 4 hours, and almost an hour of that 4 hours is going to be based, we're going to be spending time on this resolution that's not effective. So it seems to me as it would be good policy if we as a board could agree to not deal with resolutions that don't directly affect our county. And that's my thoughts on it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Chair, I think there's wisdom in what Commissioner Kuntz is saying, and I generally agree with you. I'd say about 90%. But as I understand this memo of understanding and this this resolution, it's to act as kind of a prophylactic so that the state realizes they're not just going to roll through with a different way of doing things and sign a memo of understanding to use state lands in our county, because they could do that.
Right. Do you think this will change the memo of understanding?
I think it will be a roadmark for our representatives to understand that it wouldn't be such an easy thing here to do. That's my impression of it. That's why I'm happy to. I mean, I've experienced the negative effects. There's positive effects of Camp Grayling, absolutely, and I support the military. I'm a veteran myself. But I know that it had a negative effect upon tourism in Roscommon County. Mm-hmm. And the Camp Grayling's not in Roscommon County.
Yeah,
You could hear the activity all the way at the end of south end of Higgins Lake.
Right. I'm questioning why we as a board would bring these kind of resolutions forward. That's all.
We were asked to, and we looked at it and we evaluated it. And, so.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Again, how does it affect on the county? To be cynical, it has an effect on Roscommon County's tourism. Well, that would have a positive effect on Emmett County's tourism. So how does that affect the county?
That's kind of dark.
Well, never looked at it that way. Mr. Chair?
Yes,
yeah, I kind of looked at the gentleman as someone who's been in the battle. Emmett County hasn't been in the battle. Like, they have to try to preserve their state land down there. Try to preserve their state land around the area where they live, hunt, and draw a large portion of their economy off the hunting and fishing that takes place in those counties that are down there. And I think he was just serving as a warning. And that's, that's how I see this resolution is, a warning to the state, that we're watching, we're paying attention. You fought down there. They didn't get the answer that they wanted. They didn't get a total stoppage. They got an MOU, from the state that, the state just says, well, if we decide to do something different, we'll let you know. Well, that's not what they're after, but they're warning us that the same thing could happen to us. And as a county, I would say that if we pass this, we're just saying, state of Michigan, we have a lot of state land up here, and that those needs to our county that they have down there in those counties are the same. Our economy depends, depends upon the people who come up here to hunt, fish, and to recreate. Thank you for the opportunity.
Any other discussion? I guess we're going to call the roll.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
No.
Commissioner Kuntz?
No.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
No.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Motion passes. So now it's time for discussion, and I guess I'm going to turn it over to our administrator to be the chair of this discussion.
How did I get that? Good evening. At the last meeting, there was a conversation that was had about the goals and objectives of the health department, and it was suggested that we should have a discussion at this meeting. We provided with you some information in there. We gave you the bylaws of the health department strategic plan for 2023 for you to review. And when we had the discussion, and I'll look to Mr. Kuntz, Commissioner Kuntz on this too, it was an opportunity to have a discussion. And I think this board agreed that we could have a discussion and talk about that. What's the future? What's the direction we want to see this county go in representation on the health board? I will open that up for discussion. I think that's what was discussed and that what you guys would like to see as we move forward. You want to say something?
Sure. Thank you. So I asked for this discussion, and I'm glad everyone agreed to do it, because in our code of ethics states that the advocacy, under advocacy, the county commissioners should represent the official policies or positions of the Board of Commissioners to the best of their ability when designated as delegates for this purpose. And it occurred to me as we were at the last meeting that we really hadn't given any direction to our representatives on the Board of Health. And I was thinking that if we have this in our code of ethics, that we probably should have this discussion and have some sort of direction and figure out how we want to be represented on the Board of Health. It makes sense to me. And in light of the recent controversies that we've had, I think it makes sense to have some sort of position. I've got an outline here I'll just pass down and people can look at it. Oh, can I pass one? I got one here for you, Dave. I got it. And there's one for Suzanne as well. So one of the things I've heard a lot of concern from the public, and I've even heard two Board of Health members that are currently serving that I served with previously say that it's their goal to restrict the health department to all mandatory services and eliminate grants and all that until they can pare the health department down to mandatory services. And I think in the interest of transparency and honesty, if that's the goal of anybody here, I think they should say that. You know, I think we should talk about what our goals are and all that kind of stuff.
In the interest of honesty?
Yeah.
That is not my goal.
I didn't think it was, and that's why I want to have this discussion.
And I don't believe that it's Mr. Ginnick's goal.
Okay. Well, maybe Mr. Ginnick could tell us that.
There's been one meeting
yeah.
for the Program and Evaluation Committee.
Yeah.
That was an introductory meeting. The next one, we just simply made a simple request, and I asked a couple of questions. And now we have all this.
Well, I didn't have the impression that it was your goal. I didn't have the impression that that was your goal. There were two.
Well, what kind of impression do you have?
Well, I it's not my impression. I think we as a board today need to kind of figure out what we want to do in the health department. I'd like to hear what you want to do, and maybe you can hear what I'd like to have happen.
Well, I was sent to that board with the impression that it was our job to oversee the Board of Health and to ask questions.
Right.
And to educate ourselves.
Yep, exactly. Perfect.
Okay, and this comes, the kind of debate and the public comments that we've been hearing over the last 2 months comes from just asking simple questions. And
I think
the untruths and stuff that I've been hearing is something I don't even know what meeting I was sitting in.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, maybe it would be helpful tonight to focus on what our board, what we are seven representatives here that probably should come up with some idea or some consensus.
I'd like to hear from everybody.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping.
It's not my goal to bring any burden or any bad faith to this board.
So if you read what I wrote here, it says if that's your goal, you really should let us know, and you're letting us know. So that's perfect, right? That's not your goal, and I didn't think it was. But if anybody here does have that goal, if their goal is to reduce the health department to mandated services, I think it's fair to expect to hear that.
Well, that's absolutely insane. Even
I agree. That's insane. Yeah, that's why I brought it up.
Well,
and I've heard commissioners that are sitting on the Board of Health, not anybody from Emmett County, say that. The other thing that I've heard a lot.
Let's just talk about Emmett County Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, okay. The other guys. Fair enough. All right, let's do that. I'm hoping that we can have some sort of consensus about what we'd like to do for goals and objectives. It says goals and objectives, right? Another thing that we should note, I think, is funding, because that seems to be a big topic. I brought some numbers along that you might want to look at. So it turns out that local appropriations for the Board of Health for the whole total budget, as this is from the 2021 annual report, they're about 4%, right? So that means the four counties together pay about 4% of the cost. And so it's important to remember that this is an incredible deal for Emmett County taxpayers.
Absolutely.
And it's a great value. And I think that's a place to start when we hear about cutting grants to save funding. So let me finish. If we cut grants.
Hold off, because there's been no discussion on any of the meetings that I've been in of cutting grant funding.
Good. Okay.
Okay, so let's just stop that nonsense right now.
Well, let's not, because I have heard that. And so anyway, if we do pare the health department back to mandated services, that's going to end up costing us more in local appropriations, and we're going to get less service. So that's just something to throw out there. So, and you and I agree, Don, apparently, that that's not what our goal is. So that's good. Let's move on.
Okay, good idea.
All right, fair enough.
I don't want anyone to information spread out there that already is.
I haven't spread any misinformation. I'm just telling you how much.
We're going to just talk about the facts. I want to know what you would like the two of us to do.
Okay, I'm going there. I'm going there. So there's also in here, it tells what the health department, what did it say here? Section 24 of the Michigan Public Health Code, I included it in here. And a careful reading will show that the current services that Emmett County or that the Health Department of Northwest Michigan provides, these are consistent with the mandates from the state. But I do have some things that I would like to maybe come together here and see if we can agree on these things. And I don't think they're controversial at all. And I don't think they're going to be insulting to anybody here or anything. And they're on the last page here. I offer the following goals and objectives that could serve as a guide for commissioners serving on the Board of Health. And we could change these if you guys have different ideas. Eh? But this is what I'm proposing that we sort of use as a guideline for service on the Board of Health. Number one, that we support the Health Department of Northwest Michigan in its endeavors that comply with the Michigan Health Code. So the things that our Health Department are doing that comply with the Health Code, I think we should agree to support those as a county.
I don't believe that's a question at all.
Okay, good. That's perfect then. We can agree on that.
So why bring it up?
Because the goal is to get some goals and objectives here, right?
You're following the line of our constituents who are saying that we have one purpose and one goal is to destroy the health department.
I'm not following that line at all.
There's no point even bringing it up.
There's a huge point, because we have a huge contention here from this audience and our public about what are we doing with the health department, and it would behoove us on this board to come up with some sort of plan and some sort of goals and objectives for how we intend to serve the health department.
See, there's nothing on this piece of paper that I've read that I disagree with.
Perfect. Then let's get it out there. Let me read it and say what it is, and we'll just come to an agreement.
But I can't help. I don't know where they're getting their information from.
Well, we're not talking about them, are we? We're trying to...
No, you just mentioned them, that there's a large portion of my constituency that...
Why don't we read through this and agree to agree or agree not to agree?
Oh, that's kind of what I was hoping we could do. Thank you.
Well, let's focus just on what's on the page.
Thank you. Okay. So number one was, we already read that, to comply with, support the endeavors that comply with the Michigan Health Code. Number two, to serve in a way that honors the stated mission of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. That's part of the compact between the four counties. We made this agreement when we formed the health department that this was our mission, and so we really should support that mission. And the mission, I've got it stated here, it's from the website, to serve the entire community and to achieve health equity by promoting well-being, preventing disease, and protecting the environment through partnerships, innovation, and excellence in public health practice. And if we can agree to that, that's fantastic.
I don't have any problem with that.
Thank you. So the third thing that I'd like to talk about, or I propose, is that we agree to follow the bylaws of the Board of Health, including as referenced below, to allow regular meetings to take place. And it says in the bylaws, meetings of the Board of Health shall be held on a monthly basis. So that would be something that we wouldn't block meetings from taking place. That would make sense to me.
I didn't block it.
I didn't think you did.
That's the order of a meeting. Don't all go perfectly. And
I've been on lots of meetings that haven't gone perfectly.
That kind of stuff happens.
Okay, but we can agree to follow those bylaws in general, I think, can't we? Yeah, okay, good, thank you. I'd also like us to agree to heed legal advice from health department and county attorneys regarding health department issues. So when we have attorney ruling or recommendations from Emmett County or from the health department, and this came up a lot when I served on the Board of Health, those are our attorneys, and they're obligated to act and advise in our best interest.
Define the word "our."
We're paying them. We hired them. We have a contract with them.
The board's attorneys?
The Board of Health and the Emmett County hire attorneys to advise us on things. And when we hire them, they're our attorneys. We have a contract with them.
So the board attorneys.
Yes. And when the Board of Health attorneys, that's what it says there, and the Health Department of Northwest Michigan attorneys, which is really the same attorneys, the Health Department of Northwest Michigan hires attorneys that advise the board. That's how it works. The board doesn't pay the bills, the Health Department of Northwest Michigan.
Maybe should have been two different attorneys.
Well, then when you're serving on the Board of Health, you could request a second attorney be hired. That would be consistent with this, right? But the point is, when you hire the attorney, it makes sense to follow that attorney's advice, because that person has a legal obligation and a professional obligation to advise their clients in the best way they know how. And so it doesn't make sense to listen to attorneys that are not being paid by the Board of Health or by the Emmett County when we make these decisions. I think that's a point that we could agree to as a goal for our services, that we listen to our own attorneys when they advise us on legal matters. Could we agree to that?
On our county attorneys, yes, I can agree to that.
You can't agree to listen to Board of Health attorneys and take their advice.
I haven't been advised by the Board of Health attorneys.
I know if you were, would you feel obligated to take their advice?
Sure.
Good. Okay, so could you agree to that, Mr. Ginnup?
It all depends. First of all, the attorney is a real estate attorney that is advising us. And so I would need a little bit more help on that. So like I say, it may need to be two separate attorneys, one for the board and one for the...
Well, that's if you're serving on the Board of Health and you wanted to hire another attorney, that would be what...
I agree with that.
Okay, good. So we can agree to follow the legal advice from Health Department, Emmett County, and with health attorneys. Can we agree to that?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. And then I also just put this in your honor and respect the contributions of the Health Department of Northwest Michigan staff as they perform their duties. I know the staff has been under tremendous pressure lately, and I think it goes a long way if they can see the Board of Health respects and honors their service. And I'm not saying that you have not, but could you agree
to
do that?
So that's all coming from?
I've heard a lot of people tell me that they feel that way.
I understand that, but where do you suppose that's all coming from? Because anyone who's attended the meetings that I've sat in, there's never been any disrespect or any cause for them.
Okay, so
to feel that way.
I've heard dozens of people tell me, and I haven't been at the meeting, so.
I know you can't. Yeah. You can't verify where that's coming from, and I can't either.
Well, I can verify where it came from, because it came from people that I've talked to.
I respect them, and I respect the work that they do.
So you can agree to do that in your service?
Sure. I don't understand why we're, I agree to all this stuff. I already said that.
So we can also, you can add some goals and objectives if you'd like to, right? This doesn't have to be my goals.
I'm happy with these goals and objectives.
Good.
I'm a new commissioner.
Awesome.
I was elected by my constituents to represent them, and I was appointed to this board, and I accepted that appointment to this board to represent my constituents, and that's what I'm doing to the best of my ability.
I've seen you've done it with distinction.
But I'm going to make some decisions somewhere down the road where it may not be that popular anymore.
Yeah, I know. Yep, you are.
And so
when you do, I hope you'll think about these things.
Okay, but I always think about these things. I've read these before. They're very similar to the health departments. They're very similar to the laws and the rules that we need to go by as Emmett County commissioners.
Okay, good. Then I don't see what the contention is.
Well, we're spending a lot of time going over this stuff.
And then the other thing.
You've got something to say important. I would really like to hear.
All right, here it comes. The other thing that I'd like to, the sixth goal or objective I'd like to lay out there is that we agree to take the time to learn about the services, the funding mechanisms, the health code requirements, and the value that the health department provides to Emmett County. And we also consider those factors and decisions. So this is what I propose. If you guys have other proposals, let's talk about it.
That is perfect.
Good.
This is what I signed up for.
Cool.
All I did was ask a question.
As I said, Mr. Mapes, I think you've served with distinction on the department.
And also one of my board members on that committee did was ask to see some grants so we would know how the grant process works. And it was the questions that I asked at that board were directed at Dan Thorell, the administrator of the health department. I asked him how, you know, the budget was established. I knew that the four county board paid about 4% of the budget. The rest are fees and services, mm-hmm. which equals a small amount. And over, I thought at one point that it was probably maybe 50% of the grants and stuff came for non-mandated services. It turns out that over 2/3 of the grants that the health department receives are for non-mandated services. That came from Dan Thorell. Okay. And that's all I know. I asked a question. He answered it.
All right. So.
Okay. And so all I did was ask a question. Now, by asking those questions, if people thought that I'm threatening to them by asking those questions, I can't help that because that's what I was appointed to do.
I never had any impression that you were threatening to the health department.
I'm not saying you were.
And I don't, I haven't, I thought, like I said, I thought you've done a great job.
And I'm not saying you are. Okay. But I'm curious, you know, that we're getting a lot of public comment from people who hear things that aren't true. And I'm just, if I have to stand up here and defend myself, I will until the day I die. If you want to call me on something that I've said, let's have it.
Sure.
Go ahead, Dave.
There was six, goals and objectives that were presented. I guess it would be back to the board as there's other goals and objectives we'd like to see. We could move forward. If not, these are goals and objectives I think that are right there for us to move forward on. If there's not others, Chair, I would move on.
Yeah, something else. If somebody would want to make that motion.
I'll make that motion. Sure. Appropriate these six items that Matt has presented.
I just wonder if we should wait and have time to look at this.
I'm happy to have this come back to the next meeting if that's what you'd like to do. As
that would be
with the other
that would be more consistent with that, our policies, yes. I think, and more appropriate.
If that's what the chair would like.
And I subject it to legal review and all that sort of thing.
We'll bring it back at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Chair, could I add an impression? Commissioner Kuntz, I believe what I've seen is that people feel a little bit cheated out of the process of what they felt should happen. When a committee comes forward to a board or committees can give their report for a recommendation or not for an up or down vote by the board itself, and that doesn't happen, it seems like democracy has been cut off. And that just feeds into people's worst thoughts of government in general. I saw that when I first ran in 2016, that kind of behavior was going on here in Emmett County. Basically, well, there was daytime committee meetings that weren't necessarily even minutes being taken and done the right way. And then those were just rubber stamped by the board in the evening, and democracy was not being served. So I know, I understand. That's one of the reasons I ran. I didn't like that. So I thought, well, we have to figure something out different. And we did. We moved committees to not during the daytime to different or meetings to the nighttime so that more people could attend and see what their government's doing. So I'm just saying, you know, everybody's been through a lot the past few years. Some people were happy with masks, other people weren't. Everybody was pretty much had the wits scared out of them because we haven't lived through a pandemic before. Okay. And everybody is tired and worn out and tired of being stressed. So they probably have a lot less patience than they would have had before this. So I'm just saying that's I understand the impression, and you know, impressions are reality to people. That's how it affects them is their reality. And that's why optics matter. And if you do things the right way, then you don't have bad optics. Then things go smoother and people aren't as upset. It's been my experience.
Just one more thing. I also wanted to comment on. I also wanted to comment on the meeting of the Program and Evaluation Committee. There were some questions when the topic of that grant came up, and it was explained to us that we had a four-person committee, so that wouldn't have to be, there wouldn't be a quorum, so it wouldn't have to be a public meeting. There was just stuff that we could talk about and discuss. To be honest with you, I was kind of curious why it even came up for a vote anyway on that committee. You know, if it's just something we're going to talk about and discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And so not really knowing what to do, you know, it was explained to me by Mr. Thorell that it would probably be okay to do a vote. And so we did. And so then the chair, who's from another county, when it came before the full board, he stood up for that vote. But, you know, that's how that happened. Now, the dust is going to settle, and it'll probably never happen again unless we're advised that it's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to share that so people know that. And just both people sitting on a board, you know, trying to chop down a grant just because you didn't want to do that.
Yes. Go ahead.
Could I add a seventh to this group, and that is that the Emmett County Board Representatives agree that all committee recommendations will be brought to the full board to be voted on and not to be voted on, but only a recommendation made to the full board.
I agree.
I think that's reasonable.
I could do that.
Is there anybody else that would like to say anything tonight? This would be the good time to say something.
I think this ought to continue next month at the next meeting.
Well, it sounds like we'll have an action item at the next meeting. Yeah. Okay.
I've had some personal dealings with the health department. I think the staff is doing a great job. My daughter got bit by a bat when she was in middle school, and the health department was fantastic. How they tested her, and of course she had to have a shot, but unfortunately at the time, but. And then I've dealt with water wells and septic systems, and I think staff is doing a very good job. And I don't think this board, Rich and Don, are after to disrupt the health board. There was that one single grant, so they're both good guys. I know them personally, so hopefully in the future that this won't be that controversial anymore.
No, bottom line, it's about the kids. It's about the less fortunate than us.
So it's about all of us, but yes, especially the kids. And
the less fortunate.
And the less fortunate, yes, by all means. And
could go us.
Pardon me?
Therefore, could go us.
Yes. So I, too, agree with the support of the health department. I think they're doing a great job. In many areas, we did not mean to, or did we even threaten anybody's job position or anything like that? And we don't plan to, but we do plan to look at new grants coming along and ask questions. When they first saw that grant, there was three paragraphs to describe what was going on. And then when they started digging into it, which was already past their vote, they discovered all this other stuff. So why would we approve a grant that's going to fight against Line 5 pipeline in the Straits of Mackinac to take food away from the kids? And we're not taking food away from the kids. So dig into it. You'll find it. It's there. Anyway. Anybody else?
I will bring this back to the next meeting with the addition of the seventh item.
Thank you.
Five.
Chair, I appreciate everybody being willing to have this difficult discussion. It's productive. Thank you.
Can I ask one question of you and Rich and you and John?
I noticed in the annual report that there's a citizens advisory committee composed of volunteers from Antrim, Charlevoix, Emmett, and Otsego. They've met twice to discuss HWNW operation, public perceptions, and the current political climate. That's an understatement. What can you tell us about it?
So we are not privy to any of the information on that. All we know is that that's going on.
Okay, they don't do a report now.
Well, they will do a report, I believe, at the end.
I'm hoping they will. But one of the things that I found out, I'd just like to add, one of the things I found out since being a part of the health department is they aren't used to people asking questions.
Yes, yeah, so that we will get a report at the end, I think.
Thank you.
So, yep.
This was something that was already put into motion in the prior administration.
Yes, so Matt might know more about that than we do. I don't know.
And the listening sessions that are going on.
So the listening sessions, again, are we're not privy to that information. There will be a report at the end, though.
Super.
Yep. So we're up to claims and committees and travel voucher approval. Looking for a motion.
Mr. I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $3,224,945.28 and for the payment of committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $4,637.00.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We have roll call.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Mr. Ginnup?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Coates?
Yes.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. Arras?
Yes.
Motion passes. So we're going to new business. We have, let me get to the top of the page here. So, yes, National EMS Week. Is that what you have?
Yes.
Is that what comes up first?
That's what comes
up. No, we got Marine Safety Grant first.
Yeah, I have National EMS first.
Yeah, I have National
EMS and I have Safety Grant second.
The online version says.
What would you like us to do?
What do you want us to handle first?
EMS
first. I'm going to get the first one that was on the screen over there, the Marine Safety Grant. What was that? Each year, the Sheriff's Office and our Undersheriff is here. If you have any questions on this, applies for a grant through the Michigan Department of Natural Resources to help fund our Marine Patrol that is out on the waters patrolling. They do search and rescue. They help us in this grant that we get for $22,300 helps offset the cost that we have for the Marine Patrol, something that we're currently doing. So it helps offset our costs. We get this grant every year. The Undersheriff's here. If you have any specific questions on the grant itself.
Anybody, can you have any questions for Matt?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the 2023 Michigan Department of Natural Resources Marine Safety Program grant agreement in the amount of $22,300 and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion in several seconds. That's any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to note that I was reading through there and the goal, it seems like the goal of the Marine, our Marine officer, Sheriff's Office, Marine Division is pretty much the same goal as the snowmobile officers is to educate, you know, and I noticed that in their grant and I really appreciate that. You know, contrary to popular belief, the sheriffs aren't all the bad guys. They're out there to help people.
At least not all the time.
Not all the time.
Not everybody that can drive it, that physically drive a boat knows how to.
Yes.
And some shouldn't be driving them.
Any other discussion? Let's call the roll.
Mr. Arons?
Yes.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. Coates?
Yes.
Mr. Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Ginnup?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Which one would you like to go to next?
I'm going to go next with the EMS grant, and I'll ask Brian Patton to come up, our EMS coordinator, and he can talk a little bit about EMS and EMS, the National EMS Week. I'm putting him on the spot.
So before you speak, could we have the people from the other room come over here? I think there's just a few left, and quite a few people left this room, so there's room here.
Denise, could you have Mike have the folks in the other room come over here? We've got plenty of seats now.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
Oh, that's right. So Brian Patton, Director of Emmett County EMS. So National EMS Week is something that is recognized nationally by federal government. The president has issued a proclamation, and a lot of the governors and other local municipalities. Thank you for putting us on the schedule. We're very fortunate up here being part of the community. We do get a lot of recognition. People say thank you to us all the time, and we're very appreciative of that. We're recognized for the work, but by taking a few minutes and doing this proclamation, it does mean a lot to my staff. Every year, along with the recognition, we also like to do some education and focus on one thing. This year, we're focusing on basically that the care starts as soon as you call EMS, that we're not just transport, that we bring quite a bit of knowledge, skills, and there's a lot of things we can do in the ambulance. So a lot of things we're going to be doing next week with some of the groups we're going to be focusing on, some of those things that we do, that if you haven't, you know, if you've been fortunate not to be in the back of one of our ambulances, you may not know what we do. So we want to let everybody know what we care and what we are as a resource. But thank you for doing this proclamation. It does mean a lot to my staff.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Do we have any other questions for EMS? So let's have the motion first.
I'll make the motion, sir. I move that the board approve the attached EMS Week proclamation and authorize the board chair to sign the same.
And a second?
Second.
And any discussion? Roll call.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner Loftbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Motion passes. Could we have someone read the proclamation?
Go ahead, Brian.
All right.
This is to designate the week of May 21 through 27, 2023 as Emergency Medical Services Week with the theme EMS, where emergency care begins. Whereas emergency medical services are a vital public service to the residents of Emmett County and to its visitors, and whereas the members of the emergency medical service profession are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not only in Emmett County, but also throughout the country. And whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury. And whereas emergency medical services system consists of first responders, emergency medical technicians, paramedics, emergency medical dispatchers, firefighters, police officers, and other out-of-hospital medical care providers, and whereas the members of the emergency medical service profession engage in many hours of specialized training and ongoing education to enhance their life-saving skills, ensuring they bring the highest level of care to their patients, and whereas it is appropriate to recognize the dedication and accomplishments of emergency medical service providers and recognize the benefit they bring to our community by designating an Emergency Medical Services Week. Therefore, the Board of Commissioners of Emmett County, Michigan, in recognition of all EMS providers, hereby proclaim the week of May 21 through 27, 2023, as Emergency Medical Services Week with the theme EMS, where emergency care begins.
I so proclaim.
I can attest that the care happens immediately. Not until they don't just show you to a medical care facility. They start right then. And that's why I'm sitting here today. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I see we've gone 2 hours now and we've still got a ways to go. Would it be permissible to take a 4-minute break?
It would. Let's take a 5 to 10 minute break. Let's not take it too long here, though. We want to get out of here tonight. Okay, we're going to bring this meeting back to order. We have DPW on deck, I think.
We have a grant, Household Hazardous Waste Days. DPW puts on several of those per year. You can come out with any hazardous household that you have in your home, and you can bring it to the yard. There is a cost to that. That cost keeps going up. So the staff there put in a grant to the Petoskey Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation, received a grant for $10,000. There is not a contract that we enter into it. Once we say we'll accept the funding, we accept the funding.
Okay, we're looking for a motion.
Make that motion. I move that the board accept the grant from the Petoskey Harbor Springs Area Community Foundation in the amount of $10,000 to help offset the cost of the annual Household Hazardous Waste Days.
We have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
We have several seconds. Is there any discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. Pills?
Yes.
Mr. Gidup?
Yes.
Mr. Kapowski?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Mr. Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Bates?
Yes.
Motion carries. I think the next one we have is snow plowing.
I know it's a little bit early for snow plowing to be even thinking about that, and I hate to do that and bring this up. But we do put this out early so we can get an RFP went on the street for snow plowing for next year. There's three different areas that we're looking for snow plowing, which we do each year. And we did receive a bid for each one of those by the same companies that have been doing it for the last several years. We reviewed it. We feel their prices are good. We were pleased with the work they've done in the past. So tonight before you is a resolution to approve the contracts.
Okay. Could we have somebody read the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board approve the awarding of the bids for at the amount stated in the attached documents to number one, Bay Area Turf Care LLC for winter sidewalk maintenance along Anderson Road. Number two, Barrel Brothers Excavating Incorporated for snow plowing and salting services at the EMS station at Mackinac City. And number three, Dunkel Excavating Services Incorporated for snow plowing and removal at parking lots near the county building and jail, the EMS station on Epler Road, the EMS station on M119, and the Emmett County Sheriff's Office Road Patrol Building on M119, subject to a suitable three-year contract being negotiated by the county administrator and civil counsel.
We have a motion and looking for a second.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I see that Dunkel Excavating has given us some very reasonable prices. Seem like they're almost doing it as a public service, but I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other comments or discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gittle?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Mr. Kuntz?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion carries. The RFP for the mechanical chest compression.
Yes, thank you. An RFP went on the street for chest compression systems. These are machines that give CPR and mainly when you're transporting. So you will not lose that rhythm. It's the safest way for us to do it. The proposal is for 9 units. We received 2 bids. There is only one bid that actually met the qualification, and that's Stryker Sales LLC. And this is replacing the 9 that we have in place that have passed their useful life.
Okay, so could we have somebody read the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the bid from Stryker Sales LLC to supply the EMS department 9 mechanical chest compression systems for the amount of $186,562.35 and authorize county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
We have a motion, looking for a second.
Second.
Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I see the one bid from Technology International is almost $53,000 cheaper. How did they not meet the requirements for the bid?
In the bid specification, it was specific on what we were looking for, and there was multiple different things that were required. If you look at the bid tabulation sheet, you'll see that they left off a bunch of products that we were looking for and services that we needed. We actually received a letter when we questioned them. We received a letter from the company stating that they cannot meet the bid specifications. So okay. They basically withdrew themselves. Believe me, we looked at that too. And I talked to the EMS director and I said, we have to make sure that when we get a bid, it's $53,000 less than the other one to make sure that one, it meets the specification. And after doing that, it did not meet the specification.
So okay. Thank you.
They really shouldn't have been included in this list then, should they?
Well, we put all bids that come in, we put them on the list, and I think it was probably just this past week they finally responded to us.
Good. Any other discussion? Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coombs?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnett?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski.
Yes.
Motion passes. Equalization.
Yeah, all right, so this is the L4029 that we do annually. This sets our millage rates for the different millages that we have in place. And just as you'll note, if you look down at the extra voted for CCE 911, it was at 0.2964 mils, and it is reduced to 0.115, and that will fall off of our rolls after this year.
So you're reducing taxes again?
Yes.
Wow. We have somebody read the
Mr. Chair, motion. I move to approve the 2023 L-4029 tax rate request and authorize the board chair to sign the form on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners and authorize the finance director to sign the form and submit it to the Michigan Department of Treasury.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's have the roll.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Mr. Ginnup?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Coates?
Yes.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion passes. Great Lakes Energy.
Yes, we received a grant from Great Lakes Energy's People Fund for $1,600, and that's to purchase 9 trees. We've done this in the past, and these trees are going out at Camp Petasiga.
Could we have somebody read the motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the board accept the grant from the Great Lakes Energy People Fund in the amount of $1,600 to purchase trees for Camp Petasiga.
Second. And we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's call the roll.
Mr. Loughbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Coombs?
Yes.
Mr. Mapes?
Yes.
Mr. Ginnup?
Yes.
Mr. White?
Yes.
Mr. Ahrens?
Yes.
Mr. Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. Contract with Gillespie?
Gillespie Law Firm, yes. Gillespie Law Firm provides us service kind of as a need basis, and they work with our planning and zoning construction resource company. They work with violations we might have on alarm violations, civil infractions relating to zoning and building.
Could we have someone read the motion?
I will, Chair. I move that the board approve the independent contractor agreement between the County of Emmett and Gillespie Law Group, PLLC, for legal services for court hearings and proceedings related to municipal civil infractions, permit violations, civil infractions / alarm violations at the Emmett County Sheriff's Office, and other violations as determined by the county's planning, zoning, and construction resource departments, beginning May 17, 2023, and ending May 17, 2024. And authorize the county administrator to sign the same on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners, subject to a suitable contract being negotiated by the county administrator and civil counsel.
We have a motion.
Do
we
second.
Have a second. Any discussion?
I see it started yesterday.
It's been going on, so we haven't stopped the service, but the contract was running was expiring, so we are ready to move forward. And again, this is an as-needs basis. It's not something that we rely on every day.
Let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner May?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffel?
Yes.
Motion passes. A resolution authorizing designation to, what is that, Synergy?
Signatory.
MDOT requires, MDOT Aeronautic is for the airport where we get grants. They have requested that all counties develop a signature so they don't have to verify it. We thought we've already approved the grant. I signed it, as it said in our resolution, but they've come back now and want us to actually have a resolution designating a signer for all grants moving forward for the next 5 years. And that's what we've used their resolution, and it's before you tonight. And all that does is give authorization once the board approves it.
Could we have somebody read the motion?
I move that the board approve the attached resolution to provide authorization for David Boyer, County Administrator, to execute airport sponsor contracts with the MDOT Aeronautics Division for a 5-year period of May 19th, 2023 through May 18th, 2028, after approval of each sponsor contract by the Board of Commissioners.
We have a motion.
A second.
And a second. Any discussion?
I have a question, Chair, for Mr. Boyer. Does that mean you're staying for 5 more years?
No, that just states in this resolution that 5 years you'll have someone.
Because shouldn't it be just the administrative position and not the person?
No, they're calling out a name. They need a name on it.
Need a name.
That's okay. Correct.
We just locked him in.
Yep.
Whatever position, well, wherever
you're for 5 years.
If I'm not here, the next person.
We're making an official right here tonight.
Any other discussions?
So can we have a spell check? So we don't have to fix it next week or next month. I move that the board approve the attached resolution to provide authorization.
I did say authorization. I checked it on the fly.
Yeah, but it's
authorization. We will get that changed.
Somehow, so it works. You know, if we want to use the authorization or authorizes.
Okay, we're getting a little nitpicky here. So,
but it need to be changed.
Suzanne will take care of that for us.
It's changed.
Changed. See how quick that is. So let's have the roll call, please.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mates?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Loffbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion passes. And now we have a reappointment to the Historical Commission.
Chair, this would be a new appointment.
New appointment, sorry.
There's been a couple openings on the Historical Commission for quite a while, and this application just came in.
And so we only have one name on the list?
One name, that's it.
We need a
motion. I'd like to make that motion. I move that we appoint Denise Evans to the Historical Commission.
I'll support that.
We have a motion and a support. Any discussion? You want a roll call, or do you want?
I think you can do a voice vote on this.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Motion passes. And no committee reports. I mean, no communication. So we're down to the committee reports.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I received some communications from Commissioner Ahrens today in email that I can attach to the minutes.
Okay.
I just passed along some emails I got. I try to ask for permission when I can, if I have time, because I am aware of the sensitivity of people's email addresses and contact information. And so I always try to ask for some.
Okay, so we're ready for committee reports. Who wants to go first?
Have anything this time.
Right. I have no committee reports.
I followed the clerk's direction, and even though I'm retired from city management, I did my report, typed it out as I did for 40 years. I'm sure that Brian will add to the road commission that it met on April 28th, 2023, approved bids for MDOT for pickup, rental, and power street sweeping. They also reviewed and approved new road signs, which are now in order with installation to start early summer. Maple River Road Bridge will be receiving an epoxy overlay, and a contract was approved with Bliss Township for asphalt wedging on Pleasant View Road. On May 11th, the Road Commission met and approved an MDOT Act 51 engineering reimbursement. Don can add additional to that. The board I serve on, Area on Aging of Northwest Michigan, the board met on May 4th and approved 3 grant amendments. A grant award for nutrition, $200,000, that's for Meals on Wheels. Disease prevention / health promotion, $30,000 max. In assistive technology and gap filling services, $150,000 max. Parks and Recreation met on May 2nd at the Headlands Event Center, light snow in the air. Brian reported that finances are right on track. Round one of those parks grants were awarded. We were not awarded funding as our score was 68 out of 100. Staff is reviewing the scoring and areas to improve for round two. Park programming is ramping up after a very successful egg scramble at Easter at the fairground. Crooked River Lock is open for the season. Camp of the Sea is open for the season and has had campers already. The new sign at the fairgrounds has been ordered and will be installed in early June. Emmett Charlevoix County Fair plans are progressing as we get ready for a great 2023 fair. The main discussion item was we need volunteers! Exclamation point. That's really my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You want to go next?
Yeah, sure. So adding on to the Parks and Rec, we did a tour of the Headlands on that May 2nd meeting. Very nice facility up there. Enbridge provided a $500,000 grant to the county that we had in front of our board, and putting that money to work, we're going to improve the road into the Headlands and improve the parking lot. And another $500,000 will be forthcoming next year?
$1 million forthcoming.
Or $1 million, okay. Which will be, allow us to make more improvements. Dave already mentioned the digital sign at Fairgrounds is going to be replaced in June. DPW scrap tire collection has started on May 1st. The cost is $1 per tire. Hazardous waste collection, we just approved the resolution of the grant money, the $10,000, and the first collection is June 20th, and they're targeting old paint cans. So if you got a bunch of paint cans laying around, please bring those in. Neil and I attended the MAC conference a couple weeks ago. Very good conference. Learned a lot talking to other county commissions. But one of the sessions that I attended was electrical vehicles, and indicated that the Michigan Transportation Fund is losing 6% revenue on every electrical vehicle sold. They pay a premium to have like a Tesla, but it doesn't make up for the amount that you and I are paying at the gas pump when we fill up our tank, plus the registration fees that we pay at the Secretary of State. So every vehicle being sold, we lose 6% of revenue from the Michigan Transportation Fund. Last year, 6% of those 6% vehicles were electric that were sold in the state of Michigan last year, and they anticipate that's going to be 50% by 2030. So legislature is going to have to do something with that. Otherwise, our roads are going to fall apart. In addition, electrical vehicles are on average 1,000 pounds heavier than a typical gas vehicle of the same size. So they do cause more damage to our roads. As far as the TAC and the CCE Central 911, we received 7 bids for the new computer-aided dispatch system at Central. One of the bids had been thrown out because it did not meet the requirements. And the next stage is to start to have demonstrations by those 6 bidders. 2 of them happened today, and 4 more are going to happen on Monday. And the committee that's in charge of watching the demos are going to narrow that down to 3. And then there's going to be a 6-hour demo, those 3 companies, and then they're going to select the successful bidder. That should take place sometime this summer, maybe July or August. And the fairgrounds, they're using the new entry program. It's electronic, and they had a trial program this last week, and it went very well. So they're pretty excited about, getting vendors in, and they'll just be able to scan it in. And
The Monster Truck sponsorships are coming in very nicely. Electrical upgrades are in progress at the fair, and it's scheduled to be completed just prior to the fair. And like Dave said, they're looking for volunteers, and we're also looking for companies to sponsor the cornhole event. So it was very popular last year. For $400, you get a team, and you get customized cornhole boards that you take home after you're done. So there, I set my pitch.
Good job.
I'm up.
Good job. Who wants to go next?
I'll go. On April 26th, I attended the Straits Regional Transit meeting in Sheboygan. We were presented with the stats for January through March 23, which showed an increase in rides over the last 3 months of October through December of 22 of 31 rides. The totals for 2023 was 2,370 rides, with a large majority coming from Petoskey and the surrounding Bear Creek area. Also, they announced their new advertising program. You can now buy advertising on their buses. The rates vary depending upon where you place your advertising and how large you wish your ad to be. If you more info, you can call. If you want to take advantage of that advertising opportunity, you can call their office. On the 3rd, I attended the DPW meeting. Brian pretty much covered that, but there's two events scheduled for the Household Hazardous Waste Collection. The first one is June 20th, and the second one will be September 30th. Just check their website for further times for times and further instructions. Also, there's a tire grant starting May 1st. Used tires will be accepted for $1 until 4,000 tires are collected. And regarding personnel, as of this meeting, there were 3 openings: the processor, transfer station attendant, and seasonal attendant. And then the compost screening should resume soon, and they're expecting to have 10,000 yards of material available pretty quick. Bay Bluffs, nothing to report at Bay Bluffs. The meeting on 420 was canceled and rescheduled to 427. I was unable to attend that meeting due to a prior commitment. And the one scheduled for today was rescheduled for next week. So stay tuned. So.
Hey, on Thursday, April 27th, Land Bank met. We reviewed state land bank blight grant status. And we reviewed 7 properties of 2023 tax foreclosures. On Friday, April 28th, the MAC Transportation Infrastructure Committee by Zoom I attended. We had a presentation by John Cool, the president of the Michigan Railroads Association. He had a lot of interesting factoids. 3,400 miles of railroad in Michigan support 2,300 employees. We had a legislative update from Madeline Fada from MAC. The House Senate transportation budget is still being wrangled. The final version will probably be in June. 3 new battery plants in the state of Michigan for electric vehicles. The gas tax, as Commissioner Gutowski said, is being looked at for renovation, but considering the impact of EVs not using gas, that equals loss of transportation revenues for roads. And as he said, there's more damage from a heavier vehicle. It's, you know, we already have trucks that are restricted in the spring, you know, because of the roads and freezing and thawing. So what are these new vehicles going to impact on the roads as well? Are we going to restrict those, you know, for times a year? I don't know. I don't know how you do that with people's cars. We did a discussion on committee platforms. We worked on it, updating as a group. That's an annual activity every spring we do, and then we vote on it on the platforms in our late summer, early fall meeting. We talked about future meeting topics. Northern Michigan County Association, I attended by Zoom on 5/15. Dina Bosworth, our MAC governmental associate as well. She gave us an update on the budget being in motion, and they're negotiating cutbacks right now. Appears that the state doesn't have quite as much money as they thought they had at first. There's all this talk about, oh, there's plenty of money in the state. Well, now they're going, well, maybe there isn't quite so much. So the cutbacks are happening and wrangling over that. The personal property tax bills were introduced, proposing that small business exemptions go up to $180,000 from $60,000 currently.
Open Meetings Act revamp is getting pushed back from both sides of the aisle. There's a lot of people just not happy with it, how it sits right now. The statewide septic bill has been introduced again. That seems to happen perennially. Someone gets past the stinky sack or whatever. Here, you make a bill out of this. You pass it every time someone new is elected, it seems. And the aggregate bill is also one of those. That would equal loss of township control. And the state would dictate where we're going to dig a hole, we buy the land, we're going to do it, and township wouldn't get say boo about it. And then the neighbors wouldn't get say boo about it either, because even if the dust is going right in your windows, who knows? And there goes your property values too. So there was a call to action sent out by Mac in all of our emails. And I hope everybody signed that one personally and sent that on to our legislators, because anything that takes away local control, I'm generally against myself personally, because the locals know their area better than people that live hundreds of miles away. That's just a common sense. So, and NLEA was this morning. We did succession planning, facilitated discussion on MSU Extension partnership origins and responsibilities. We had updates from four counties and core partners on activities and a budget report. That's my report.
Thank you, Neil.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. I'm on six different committees. The airport committee met April 25th, 9:30, Tuesday morning. We always meet at that time. The public is always welcome to attend. There was some concern at the last meeting. It was slow in March and April at the airport. And fuel sales were down. Flights were down. But the manager, Mr. Batchelor, pointed out that's somewhat normal for Emmett County. June, July, and August are really busy months. May 4th at 3 p.m., we met in Mackinac City for the Mackinac City Revenue Sharing Board. That was a very short meeting, very routine. We reallocated funds very similar to the previous year. On that same night at 7 o'clock, I met with the planning board. We approved a site plan for O'Reilly's Auto Parts store in the south side of town at the old Flynn gravel pit that's been filled in. That's good news. May 9th. I met with the Bliss Fest Music Festival Committee right here. That was a little different. May 10th, I met with the Paradise Lake Improvement Board. And this is a good news story here. In 2009, Paradise Lake had over 500 acres infected by the milfoil weed. Large parts of the lake were unusable. And it was... The public was split right down the middle on this issue. A lot of us wanted to use a selective herbicide to control the weeds, but a lot of people were very much against it. So that didn't happen for quite a few years. They tried the weed-eating weevils with little success, and they tried aeration with little success, and they finally resorted to forming a group around the lake of landowners. They hired Jennifer, she calls herself Jay because her last name is 2 inches long and very hard to pronounce, from Restorative Lake Sciences from downstate. She made a comprehensive report there at the meeting. And the citizens up there have created SAD, and what that stands for is Special Assessment District, where they have agreed to tax themselves, the landowners around the lake, excuse me, and they put into this fund, and they hired this Restorative Lake Sciences, and they come in and they do the research, and they treat the lake with very selective herbicides, two different kinds. And in 2022, 18 acres were treated. In the infected area of the lake right now is approximately 70 acres, which is way down from what it used to be. Now people can use their boats again there on the lake. And after treatment this year, we expect to have infected areas of less than 10 acres. And that's real good news. Tuesday, May 16th, just a couple nights ago, I met with the Emmett County Zoning Board. We had three cases on the docket, Daniel and Lynn Diamond. We denied their case for a 19-foot setback to keep their accessory building out of the wetlands. The board took the position that it should be kept back from the lake and built more in the wetlands, which is an unusual case because usually on the lake and the shore, on the shoreline next to the lake is quite low. It slopes down to the lake. In this case, it's quite high. There's the highest spot in the lot. And the state wanted them to build the accessory building there. But like I said, the board took the position that they would prefer to keep it back away from the lake. That was on a 4-1 vote. I voted in favor of the state position of keeping it up there on the high ground. The second case was 003 from Michael Fluke for a 16-foot setback. That was approved. Case number 004, Elaine Kaiser for her clients in Cross Village, where a setback was also approved. And the board was informed that Emmett County was sued in circuit court on May 5th for a 5-foot setback denial involving Crooked Lake Yacht Club. I voted for them in the original case and also recommended that it be reconsidered 1 month later, but nobody else on the board supported that. And I'm very sorry to report that to the Emmett County here, that we may face many thousands of dollars in legal expenses over a 5-foot variance that I felt right from the start should have been granted. I went out there and visited the site myself, and they didn't do any harm to the lot there or any neighbors. They improved it drastically. And Crooked Lake Yacht Club is a 501c nonprofit that works with the Emmett County Sheriff's Department to promote safe boating. And I would probably encourage the commissioners on an individual basis to go out there and look at the site there at the Crooked Lake Yacht Club. They have a small building there, and this patio that's in question is on the south side of the building. And that's my report.
Thank you, Chuck. So that brings it to me. So on May 2nd, I went to a Board of Health meeting, and we didn't have the meeting, and I think everybody knows what went on at the meeting, so I don't have to say too much more about that. On May 11th, we had a TAC meeting, which Brian covered quite nicely. And May 15th, we had a special Board of Health meeting, and it was basically to pay the bills, and we did pay the bills, and that was a nice meeting. On the 17th, we had CCE 911. CCE is Charlevoix, Sheboygan, Emmett 911, and we negotiated the contract for the director and among other business, talked about what Brian talked about, and things are moving along there with the new process. So, and that's my report. Next, we have public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, step forward. Come on up. Go ahead.
Sorry.
That's all right. You're the only one here.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Stephen Scholl, and I'm former commissioner. And as such, realize how difficult your jobs are, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your public service here. It seems like a thankless job, I know, but there are a lot of people who appreciate what you do. I would like to thank Chuck for his brief report on the ZBA meeting. I represent the Crooked Lake Yacht Club. I'm their attorney. Unfortunately, we have had to sue the ZBA to overturn their decision in circuit court. I am really hoping somehow that this matter can be resolved. This is a proverbial molehill that's been made into a mountain. This is an in-ground patio. My client's contractors didn't even know there was a 25-foot setback from the lake.
for in-ground patios. There's not even a building permit required, but there is a little-known provision in the zoning ordinance which states that an in-ground patio needs a 25-foot setback. My clients didn't understand this. They didn't know it. Although the ZBA seems to think they're trying to pull a fast one on them. And I questioned the ZBA. I didn't even know about this case you're talking about tonight, Chuck. I'm not sure they understand their roles. There was a similar case. I reviewed the minutes on the same night where someone was requesting a setback variance so they didn't have to build in wetlands. And this was the DEQ recommending this to the ZBA. And the ZBA said, basically, we don't care about the wetlands. The DEQ's not telling us what to do. And in this case, Chuck's stating there was a dry piece of land where an accessory building could have been put with a dimensional variance, and they refuse and instead want the people to build in the wetland. How is that protecting the environment? These are exactly the types of decisions where the ZBA is supposed to look at the specific unique facts of each case and make a decision that reflects the spirit and intent of the ordinance, protects the public safety, and ensures that substantial justice is done. And what I'm seeing reviewing in these minutes is some board who's trying to flex their muscles and tell everyone else, you're not telling us what to do, instead of looking at the unique facts and circumstances of each case and making the decision in the spirit of the zoning ordinance, which will ensure that substantial justice is done. So I have a communication I'm going to hand to the clerk.
30 seconds.
Suzanne, I've made copies for everyone, including a copy for you. I would ask you, please, I know how busy you are, to, if you have a chance, please review these letters. And I would urge each and every one of you, as Chuck has, to visit this site and see the absolutely beautiful patio that my client, who hosts the Sheriff's Department voter safety classes at their facility, and they have for decades, has been there since 1948.
Time's up.
Please. How they have improved this site, and explain to me why we didn't receive a variance and why the county should spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars fighting this, which even if the county wins, it's going to be a loss for the county and for the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next? Are you coming up to speak?
Yeah.
All right, you're next.
I'm Mark Freilich, and I live in Bear Creek Township, and I'd like to thank Mr. Kuntz for bringing the goals and objectives up for discussion, and I was very pleased with all the interaction among board members. I think that's a good starting point to have some support for the health department. Now, the other thing, and it just came to me while I was looking at this, you approved 3 grants tonight. How many grants does Emmett County get? Does Emmett County have a subcommittee to look at all the grants?
We are not open for discussion.
Well, okay, but that's just a question for you that I'm throwing out there. So, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi, guys. Mark Rebecca here again from Harbor Springs. I want to commend you once again for asking questions. Keep it up. We don't need less questions. We need more. And one thing I would like to see is more transparency on these grants. I'd like to see something, I do that lately. I'd like to have more transparency on these things so I know what these grants are composed of, because it seems like they're passing an awful lot of money around grants, and they've always got some kind of string attached to them. And I'm just curious as to all these grants that went through tonight, what they actually consist of and how they're put together. Because I don't think less transparency would be good. I think more transparency on these things would be good. And I'd like to have them in a manner maybe on a website that shows us how these things are put together and what they're constructed with and how they work. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Courtney Wilder again. I would like to continue the request of transparency, and I'd really love to hear from you next meeting, Mr. Ginnup. Mapes, you spent a lot of time covering for Ginnup and not allowing him to speak when Kuntz was asking questions, and I really just think you should use your words because we're all here to hear what you think. So next meeting, maybe try and speak up a little.
Thank you. Who's next?
Leslie Nielsen, Charlevoix County. Along the same lines is that over 20 people spoke at the board meeting on the 15th. And I think just saying we approved the financials is a little bit of a misjustice to give the board an update. So I would expect more in a report. I'm constantly surprised at some of the comments made by the individuals at these meetings. Although I'm sure it isn't their intention, their comments sometimes come off as callous and lack empathy and compassion. I would hazard to guess that many people homeschool their children and therefore wouldn't benefit from any of the programs that are offered through the health department. It's as if, since they don't have to worry about the health and well-being of their children, those that do, they just need to work harder. It's not always that easy. I would like to meet the person who has never received help from another person. None of us are self-made. We all had teachers who helped us learn to read and write, do math. We have farmers who grow our food and truck drivers who distribute it on roads that our governments have built. Everything is connected, and as much as some people would like to distance themselves from those in need and not think about them, they still exist and they need help. Some of these people not only lack the financial means to make better choices for their families, but they also lack the knowledge to make better choices. Someone mentioned the well baby visits for new moms. I had my first child at 35 and was pretty sure I knew everything I needed to know. But boy, was I happy when that person showed up to check on me and my baby and give me some tips on how to better breastfeed my baby and verify that he was indeed thriving. I can't imagine being a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old new mom and not having a program like that in place. Not everyone has a great network or support system. Our health department sometimes provides this necessary safety net for those less fortunate. And I would ask those who are against current or future grants and programs meant to do things like this to put themselves in the other person's shoes who benefits from these grants and programs.
45
before,
seconds.
Thank you. Before you begin working against even applying for them or stopping them. Also, as you review the 7 guidelines discussed, presented by Mr. Kuntz, regarding the board's goals going forward, I ask that you do so with an open and compassionate heart. Remember, please put people before politics. I would also ask the issue I brought up at the beginning of the meeting regarding sharing Kirsten Horan's personal information be addressed and, if necessary, put a policy in place to prevent this from happening in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Jeff Nyquist, Bear Creek. There's different forms of compassion, and I don't like, from what I said before, I feel like people are saying I'm not compassionate. We have $30 trillion of federal debt. God knows what the state debt is in different states. Has anyone here seen a country that's been devastated by bankruptcy and collapse, by civil war and other things? We are headed for bankruptcy as a country. Our ancestors did not have all these programs. Maybe their lives weren't as good as ours, but they did for themselves. Freedom is about responsibility and responsibility for ourselves. We could have the toothbrush police show up and knock on your door and say, did you brush your teeth tonight? We don't want your teeth to rot. It could ruin your health. We've got to have a stop to these kind of things at some point because we're going to be destroyed. That's just the bottom line on it. Now, with the health board, with the controversy, I spoke before the health board about this because I was getting concerned. we had a major failure in our health authorities in this country because they did two things that Sweden didn't do. Sweden didn't have lockdowns. Lockdowns destroyed businesses, destroyed livelihoods, destroyed the economy, ran up these deficits. And Sweden doesn't have any more of a death rate from COVID than we had, and they did none of it. So that has, there's no, where's the accounting for this? I mean, we have to have accounting for these bad decisions. So there needs to be citizens to step up and say, wait a minute, these authorities did wrong. And then we had a vaccine that was not properly safety tested. It was experimental. Let's be honest. And they wanted to give it ultimately to children. They wanted to tell us that it was effective. Well, now we find out it wasn't as effective as it was claimed to be. Can we be honest? Can we talk about do no harm? This is very important that we acknowledge these facts and that we have oversight about these things because it can destroy our society. It can divide it. I am very displeased, of course, at any division, but we have to be rational and we have to address these things directly. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob first and then with
Bob Wiley, Emmett County. As Jeff Nyquist said, Sweden did really well without mask mandates and without mandates for injections. The continent that did the best in the world was Africa, where it was less than 50% of the populations was injected, and they had by far the least amount of problems with COVID. And so to say that our healthcare providers were well advised by the experts out of Washington and Lansing, in my opinion, they were not well advised. My first presentation tonight, I mentioned the children. Children under the 18 have been shown to be 50 times more likely to die from the vaccine rather than COVID infection if they were unvaccinated. And yes, Big Pharma knew the high incidence of myocarditis, pericarditis, cardiac electrical abnormalities in kids. But they suppressed this information, and it would have stayed suppressed for 75 years if it hadn't been for successful legal action.
Thank you.
I appreciate your previous discussion on the Board of Health a lot. I'd like to conclude my previous thought this way. Why is there a vote needed to approve an agenda? Why is there a vote on anything? Because maybe it shouldn't be adopted or accepted. If an agenda can't be rejected, why have a vote on it? I'd like to address the grant in question also. I've listened to the public comments of the last couple of weeks, the Board of Health and the Board of Commissioners. I appreciate everybody that takes the time to and the effort to get up here and speak. But I can't help feel for some that have spoken. Among the comments I've heard, kids are being denied nutrition. These are quotes. Kids are being denied nutritional food. We need to put COVID behind us. Board members must represent all people. Good luck. The Board of Health must work toward health equity. Here's some interesting info, which is available to everybody. Nearly one half of the $500,000 in question comes off the top for salaries and administrative costs. A sizable chunk of what's left would leave the four-county area. What's left could go to the schools for training, much of which would be used for salaries and administrative costs. The bottom line is this. It doesn't cost anything to tell kids to eat fruits and vegetables. Fruits and vegetables have been served in schools forever. I had them 50 years ago in school. Each school has people in place already to buy, prepare, and serve fruits and vegetables. This is an insult to them. Kids are notorious for not wanting to eat their fruits and vegetables. And we have testimony from within the schools that fruits and vegetables are tossed all the time. As a teacher of children for 20 years or so, I suggest this. If you really want to help kids, next time go for the grant. Take the $500,000, bypass the salaries and administrative costs, buy $500,000 worth of fruits and vegetables, give them to the kids and tell them to eat them. You might get better results that way. Also, concerning the divisive nature of the actions and votes surrounding the grant, I ask this. If the committee voted 2-2 and the agenda vote was 4-4, why is only one side divisive?
Thank you.
Henry Mason, Otsego County. And I'd like to thank, it's an honor to have you, Mr. Chairman, and you, Mr. Mace, represent Emmett County on the health board. I question how one or two members of this board can determine that the members that they send to the health board should be denied their open vote. And attorneys can have differing opinions also. And none of us has to make a sworn statement that we must accept exactly what an attorney advises to a board. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Carla Buckmaster. A lot of you know that I've been attending county meetings since 2008, 2009, so I probably attended more meetings than all of you put together. But besides that, I want to comment on the audiences that you've had. And there were many meetings I attended where there was only one person in the audience, and that was myself. And so when we get a special issue, it's nice to see people in the audience. And I'm just hoping that, well, you saw some of them only had one agenda item on their mind. They got up and left after they were done talking and thinking. And I'm hoping that some of these people will continue to come, because you guys do a lot of things. You don't just do health board. You do many important things, and I'm appreciative of that. My other comment is about the many committees that I have witnessed over the years and attended. And before any of you were on the board, there were so many committees, more than what you have right now, to attend. And committees are set up so that there cannot be a vote taken. They're set up with a non-majority of people, commissioners, on that board. And when I used to attend committees, there were three people allowed to be on the committee, and they could not vote on anything, nothing. They could discuss, they could come to a consensus, and they could make a recommendation to the full board, but they could not make a decision. And I would come to the meetings after those committee meetings, and I would tell the seven commissioners sitting up here, I know more than four of you sitting up there on that board, because I was able to attend that committee meeting. Just a point of view about committee meetings that have been talked about. The other thing is about letters that are written to commissioners. I am here to tell you that as soon as that letter reaches the hand of that commissioner, his letters, all of his information can be for you. And I had that happen to me. I've never run or been in a public office, but I wrote letters to commissioners quite a few years ago. And his letters were FOIA'd, which included my letters. Once it's in the minutes, once it's brought forward, once it's in that commissioner's hands, it's FOIA-able. It is open. There's no problem. If somebody doesn't want their information put out there, then don't write to your commissioners. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Hi there. Don't start my timer before I just tell you I might have broken this, and I'm so sorry. I
won't. No, you're fine.
I think I did, and I am the only one who needs it this low. I'm so sorry. As we wrap up tonight, I thank you for the extra time that you had here. And the reason I suspect there are some of us who support reducing the health department and its abilities to serve people, and some of us who are concerned about how some are serving on the board. I tried to voice my opinion on May 2nd at the meeting that wasn't, thanks to four people, including Rich Ginniff and Henry Mason, both of whom are here tonight, who blocked the meeting from happening by refusing to approve the agenda. Don, thank you for voting yes. I know you feel, I sense some feeling of attack. It has nothing to do with you. What got me into this in the first place was hearing about this nutrition grant, which the horse is dead there too. The grant's gone. However, while some are worried about masks, I worry that if we can't even come together when children are involved, there's a real divide. It doesn't matter who's causing it. There just is. And I don't know how each of you becomes, please forgive my ignorance, I don't know how each of you becomes a person who serves on a particular board, but I would hope that the ones who serve on the health board, at least, would be the most compassionate and empathetic among you because of the underprivileged nature of the clientele the health department must serve. And since you were asked to consider Camp Grayling issues, and you did so nobly, I thank you for that, I hope you will also consider the charges of Rich Ginniff and his violations of the Code of Ethics, especially so, Don, you can feel better that this isn't about you or the votes you've made. And I also hear people bringing up different types of government. And in closing, if wanting to help our neediest makes some form accusations of socialism, communism, and such, I think it's reasonable to note the works of Tim Tuttle, a white Christian who you may better know as Timothy McVeigh, who on April 19th, 1995, put 168 innocent citizens into the ground, all for his support of lesser government. And none of those accusations is fair to any of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
You guys are going to have to time me. I didn't bring my phone up here.
I got you.
Wow. On that last note, let me just say this. If we follow in the path of groundworks and the Green New Deal and climate change, we're going to be facing the things that they are in Europe and in Sri Lanka. In Europe, they're having uprisings and protests and everything about farmers who aren't able to use nitrogen fertilizer, which means we won't be able to feed about half the world. In Sri Lanka, they had a preview of the Green New Deal. And they are now in revolt, and they are now already starving in Sri Lanka. So my recommendation is to look carefully at the health department grants to see whether we're going to be teaching our children that the Green New Deal is a good thing, that electric vehicles are good, that having gasoline at $10 a gallon to force everybody to use something else is good, because this is the path to national destruction that we could be heading down, far worse than the whole Timothy McVeigh thing. Which I think we could discuss for probably a whole class about how and why that happened. I don't believe we're dealing here with white supremacy. I'm not sure we were dealing with it there. Okay, now to what I was going to talk about. I want to just second what Carla had to say and what Whit had to say. They were very good. I sensed a theme here of people feeling that the Board of Health is bullying and narcissistic and unethical and out to get the department, and this is just wrong. Also, the idea that the Board of Health should have only commissioners on it that would rubber stamp the department, that's also wrong. The Public Health Code itself, the section regarding local health departments, refers to the Board of Health as the governing entity for the health department like 30 or 40 times. Go take a look at that for yourself. Clearly, there is supposed to be some oversight, and I am grateful to you, Mr. Mapes and Mr. Ginnup, for providing that oversight. I think the particular grant in question, if you truthfully look at it, has a lot of problems, and I commend you for finding them. Anything said to a commissioner is always public. I think that's a good rule of thumb, and I'm sorry for this situation in Charlevoix, but that is the way of the world. Interesting to hear the discussion. Thank you for that. I would be very careful about agreeing in advance to take any particular lawyer's advice. You want to hear the advice before you decide whether or not to take it. And it is advice of counsel. There's a reason why that word is used. I would also actually caution you a little bit on the mission of the health department. I personally tried to understand that mission.
30 seconds.
If you look at the state law, okay, the public health code sets forth a very detailed, specific mission of what the health department is supposed to do. And the stated mission on the website added something to that. They added achieve health equity. Well, I tried to go down that rabbit hole and figure out what that meant. And I will tell you, I'm 2 hours into it, I've downloaded 35 documents and I still can't tell you. So until maybe somebody gives us an accurate definition of what achieve health equity means, I would be careful about affirming that as a accurate mission. Thank you very much for all your work and your time.
Thank you. Anybody else? Come on up.
Brenda Covita, Toski. I just want to second some of the things that I've heard spoken tonight. As far as taking advice from attorneys, that's an interesting one for me because I worked for attorneys for about 11 years and everyone has an opinion. Their name is attorneys and counselors at law. Okay. So that means they give you their opinion based on something that they learned in school. It's not written in stone. The law changes constantly. It's like a boat on the water and it's moving. And so to say, to me, that was dangerous, what I heard tonight, that you have to listen to this attorney. Please don't just take the advice of one. Please seek counsel from knowledgeable attorneys in the health field. It would be nice if there was somebody that you could rely on who actually has, oh, maybe a degree as a doctor or a nurse even, or some kind of public health knowledge besides just what their opinion happens to be that they found of the day. There's also something else I want to address. I'm so glad that people are getting involved. It's really nice to see people show up at the meetings, and I learned so much tonight just from seeing the agenda and listening to all the committees that you all serve on. And it's impressive. It's impressive. And I learned a lot tonight. So I just want to thank you all again for all serving and being here tonight. It's a long night. So thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak?
Hello, my name is Rebecca Otto, and I live in Littlefield Township. I'm coming here as an employee of United Way. I'm asking again that I be considered to be put on the agenda, Dave and Commissioner Ginnup, to be presenting for you all the ALIS information. One of the things that I wanted to point out as I was sitting and listening to everybody is that all of us in this room have the luxury of being here, and the majority of your constituents do not. Either because they don't have transportation here or because the meetings aren't offered online and they can join on Zoom. And so there are a lot of people that I know would love to give their opinions to you, would love to listen into everything it is that you're doing, but they don't have the luxury of being here. So we're really lucky in this room that we had childcare, that we have the flexibility in jobs to be able to be here, and don't take that for granted as you're trying to figure out your decisions and who you're serving. One of the things that we learned in the human services field is that when we serve marginalized communities, it ends up helping out everybody else. When you look at it, the clearest example that I can give you is anybody that is working on ADA requirements for a building. If there is a ramp going up to a building and anybody has mobility issues, that's a help for someone. If you walked up to a door and it opens for you automatically, that is an ADA addition to that building, but it certainly makes it more accessible for everyone who's walking in there. So as we talk in the human services field about serving those people who are most marginalized, it's addressing those needs of people who don't have access that the rest of us might have. And in doing so, we increase the access to those who already have that. So the other thing that I wanted to bring up is there's a lot of contention around grants. I had the luxury this morning of attending the CAPE Council conference, which is Child Abuse and Prevention Education. And it was put on by a couple of nonprofits in our area and funded by two grants. And we were able to sit as educators, as health workers, as interested people in the community, as other nonprofit leaders, and learn about child abuse prevention strategies for our community. That was a worthy endeavor, certainly worth the grant funding that was there. Yes, grants do come with strings. I worked in this very building under the finance department. In fact, the DNR grant that was on here was one of the ones that I had to put together all the reports for. In the nonprofit world, government side and human services, all of those grants have reporting, all of the grants have strings attached to it. It doesn't mean that there isn't value and that that grant doesn't bring added value to whatever entity is taking advantage of that. Please keep that in mind as we move forward. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Come on up.
Ironic that she talks about ramps as I'm coming up, but I want to thank you for the discussion tonight, and I want to thank everybody for speaking, because I think this was very valuable, and it's encouraging to me to have hard discussions. It's not comfortable, but I think that there's some growth and some learning from each other that comes through this. Commissioner Mates, I want to tell you, I've commended you in the past, and I thanked you for the questions that you've asked in Board of Health meetings, and the learning curve for anybody who's new, it's steep. So I commend the questions, and I want that to happen with the spirit of understanding the role in the arena. The concerns that I had and that I have felt have been, I guess, things that have come up outside of Board of Health meetings, primarily from Commissioner Ginna, on radio interviews and comments that have been made that feel like he's not in support of the mission of the health department. And so that's where my concerns come. And I echo the comments that I really feel like you were very transparent, Commissioner Mates, with this discussion. And I heard voices that I haven't heard before, and I thank you for that. But I really would like to hear more about your idea of how to represent and support the health department and being on the board at the next meeting. So I encourage this discussion to continue. So thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Anybody else? One more time. Anybody else? Okay. Time for announcements. The next Board of Commissioners meeting will be held on June 5th, 2023. 6 o'clock p.m. at the Board of Commissioners room, 200 Division Street, Petoskey, Michigan. Looking for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
In a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.